Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, really, really awesome. Got some cool things to share. All right, get ready tonight. We're going to share some testimonies. It's going to be really awesome. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. It's Monday night. That's for sure. All right, give me just a moment here. I'll be right back. All right, welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. And I'm going to be praying for you here in just a little bit, ministering to everybody, and believing God for some kind of miracle in your life. So, hallelujah. Get ready for that. All right. We are going to share some really cool breakthroughs we've had with some people, some friends, here in just a little bit as the show gets going on. And so welcome to the place where we want to see God's people get blessed and miracles happen to his people, that's for sure. So we're going to be sharing some of those, what's going on with all that tonight. And I have a couple of really cool things to share. So, all right, so get ready tonight for some really cool stuff. We're really looking forward to a good time and leading that God's just going to do some really great stuff, some really awesome stuff. And it's just beginning, literally just beginning. All right. Let's share a little bit of the word tonight and see what's going on there. We are going to kind of make this mostly testimony night as far as, you know, I'm going to prophesy to people and believe God for all kinds of things. And, yeah, one of the things that we're going to share tonight is about, you know, I saw the scripture today. Most of you know the scripture talks about where Jesus met the man who was waiting for the waters to be stirred up. You remember that? And as I was reading that and listening to that, let me see if I can find it real quick. I'm going to look that up real quick. I'm going to share that, just a little bit of that tonight. All right, John 5:4. I never ever figured out whether this literally happened or it was just some kind of a thing that Jewish people passed down from generation to generation. I'm not sure exactly. But either way, it's pretty cool scripture. And, you know, Jesus went by there and he didn't tell the guy that there's no angel that stirs up the water, so maybe there was an angel that stirred up the water. Who knows? So we're going to read this tonight, and I've kind of gone through this thing, you know, wondering myself, you know, what's really right about it and all that. And so, you know, some people are waiting for the stirring of the water. They're waiting for a certain thing to happen. They're waiting for a certain move of certain things, the right time, the right feast, you know, the Jewish feast to show up. They're waiting for, you know, all these things. And I got to tell you, over my years of ministry, I found out that many times, if you're waiting for some of the light up of the Jewish feast for your time to show up, it could happen. It could very well happen because they are very powerful, but it doesn't mean a thing as far as, you know, what God's having you do. Many times people get words from the Lord to get information, you know, either God gives them a dream or vision or some kind of prophetic word or some kind of something God speaks to them personally out of the Word of God and gives them a word. And they still ran away for it to happen. You know, I've done that. I think we've all done that to a certain degree because even though we've been taught, I think, to step out, some people have been burned by stepping out. And, you know, so we understand why, you know, sometimes stepping out can be, you know, a bitter word for some people. But, you know, one of the things I'm going to share tonight that a breakthrough and a testimony is that, you know, they stepped out and did some things at the right time. And it just in the moment they stepped out, you know, the breakthrough happened. And we're going to share a testimony from a PGN friend about that tonight. And that's just one of the many things. It's prophetic words given, prophetic information given, and this person decided to step out. And when they did, you know, a breakthrough happened. It's amazing. We're going to talk about it in just a little bit. But let me tell you something, friend. I don't know what you're waiting for exactly. I don't know what I'm waiting for. I mean, even with me stepping out for PGN and stepping into, you know, the new building situation and believing God for that, we've been prophesying for a while that we're in a season where God is saying, you know, move on into your promised land. And I'm sitting there one night in the old studio, and the Lord said, well, when are you going to step out? And I'm going, what do you mean? I didn't even know what he meant. What are you going to step out? I step out all the time, I thought. And so the Lord, you know, did it in a way that I didn't know what was going on. He had me not sign a new contract for the studio. And I thought nobody'd rent it out for, you know, a while. And they have a motorcycle. I went by the other day, they have a motorcycle place in there. Yeah, they rented it out to a motorcycle. I don't know what they do exactly, but it said something about motorcycle. So a motorcycle place, that's her own studio, because I didn't sign a new contract because I was stepping out, you know. And so I stepped out, and it looks like at first some negative things happen. You know, sometimes when you step out, it looks like a negative things happen, right? Yeah. And so you have to be able to, you know, be encouraged, be in a place where people encourage you and feed you the word of God and prophesy to you and give you information that's pertinent for you at this moment. That's why personal prophecy is so powerful, so wonderful, because it gives you personal information. Now, all the information, you don't know when it's going to come to pass. You know, you don't know. People say, well, I'm getting tired of waiting for my word to come to pass. Well, I think our friend tonight is going to share a story about how God broke her through, had the same thing, like, you know, when's this going to happen for me? You know, and you know, what's the timing of all this stuff? And so so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight when we get her on here. It's going to be really cool. One of our PGN friends has been with us for a long time. We're going to share that tonight here in a little bit. But here's a scripture I got tonight before I came on. You know about the angel that went down at a certain season, right, at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters, and whoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Right? Everybody's pretty much familiar with that scripture. Let me go so I can get to it here. 5:4. Let's read it in the New King James Version. Let's try that. Okay, let's get here. Yeah, let me check it here. And it goes well along with our testimony that is going to be shared tonight, the break they got. I didn't put that together until I left on the show, but it's really cool. All right. All right, let's go to St. John, chapter 5. I'm in the New King James Version for some reason. And it talks here about how that there was a feast of the Jews. There's a feast going on, so there's a feast. And there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there's a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having 5 porches in these. In these 5 porches lay a great multitude of sick people. I mean, you have to understand, I never really looked at this scripture that much before, but in order for, if some people say, well, it was just a thing that the Jews said happened, or some people said happened that they weren't really sure whether it happened or not. But let me tell you something, friend. You're not going to have a great multitude of sick people by a pool at the sheep gate which is what it was called, the Sheep Gate, the pool, Bethesda, and have, you're not going to have a great, it says here that there was a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatsoever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" The sick man answered, "Yes, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up, but while I am going, another one steps down in front of me." And in other words, you know, it only heals one person, right? So if you're not the first one to jump in out of a great multitude, you lose out. See, nobody knows when it's going to get stirred up, right? That's kind of the key. Nobody really knows, but it still had a great multitude of people waiting for this thing. I've never noticed that before. And so Jesus said to him, "Sir," he said to the man, "rise, take your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, "Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath?" And he talked about all this stuff. Okay, I don't want to go there, but so what we're talking about here tonight is this thing of waiting for your word to come to pass. Sometimes, you know, it's not waiting for your word to come to pass, because it's the same thing when the angel stirred the waters. It's like, you know, there was a certain season, it says, it even uses the word season, when the angel would come in, and nobody knew when it was going to be, and would stir the waters. And if you were the first one to jump in, you got healed of whatever disease you had. It didn't even matter what disease it was. You got healed. Man, I would like to find out whether that's really true or not. But you know what? I don't think a great multitude of people are going to be sitting there waiting for that thing to happen and it not have some truth to it, right? I mean, it had to be more than just rumor. I think there had to be something there. And so, either way, but once one person jumped in, dude, that was it for him. Nobody else got healed. They had to wait for the next season, and nobody ever knew when that was. And they had a great multitude of people waiting for that. You know, and then Jesus walks up. Here's the thing that changed everything and changed the way that God wants us to look at the way we look for blessings and the way that we just kind of like sometimes sit around on our sick bed or on our bed of waiting for our word to come to pass or waiting for the angel to stir up the waters, waiting for our word, right, to come, waiting for the angel to come, you know, and Jesus stood right there in front of them and said, you know, "Those days are over, honey." He said, "Just get up off your bed and walk. You don't have to wait for anything anymore. I'm here." And so, because Jesus, not only does he not just heal one person in seasons, he'll heal you any moment of the day, right? And so this guy was waiting for the movement of the water. There was nobody to put him in, so he didn't have much hope, but he was still there just in case. And so Jesus said, you know, "Hey, I heal all the time, every day." I guess he hadn't heard of him. I don't know, because he said he wanted to know, "Who are you?" You know, later on. And so, friend, there's times, and I don't always know when you step out, but when you get a word from God, a word is kind of like an angel in a sense. It's angelic. What's an angel? It's a heavenly message from a heavenly messenger, right? That's what a word from God, from an angel, a word from the Lord, if it's from the Lord, it's like an angel, right? What do angels do? They bring messages from God. They bring you a word from the Lord that you can bet that if you do what that angel says or whatever, that it's going to happen for you. The miracle is going to happen for you. So, but sometimes, you know, the words don't come to pass for people because they're sitting there on their bed of affliction, whatever problem there is, whatever need they have, whatever money situation they have. You get a word about God blessing you financially, whatever situation going on with some like in Jeannie's case from Texas, she had a legal thing going on, and with her inheritance, and couldn't just, you know, the thing just went on and on and on and on and on. She's going to talk about, Jeannie's the one I'm talking about tonight. She's going to share it tonight. What happened? She had an amazing breakthrough. Maybe you want, I don't know if she talked about it on her show tonight. I wasn't able to listen to her show, but if she did, you know what I'm about to tell you. This is really an amazing testimony. We heard Tanisha's testimony, last week? And now we're going to hear Jeannie's this week. And this, friend, God is beginning to move. Things are starting to happen. I know personally, as a prophet, November the 7th, when Joseph Biden became the president, believe it or not, for some reason, you know, the authority of God went to a new level in me that I've never had before. And I've had different levels come to me from glory to glory, you know, in the prophetic realm. But I've never had that happen before. It was a reverential fear of God that rose within me. And it was a whole new realm of authority. A whole new realm of authority. And so I think that we're stepping into a whole other realm of authority where God is saying, when I tell you to do something or I give you some information, you know, as the Lord guides you, and you ask him, of course, you know, do I step out of the boat? You know, Peter asked Jesus, do I step out? I think some people just step out without asking. You know, Lord, do you want me to, bid me to come if you want me to step in on the water? If you want me to, can I walk on the water? Because Jesus had been telling them, what I do, and you can do greater things. Yeah, that's what he told them. And Peter's going like, yeah, you said it, Lord. Is your word true? How many of you say that? All of us say that. Is your word true? We know his word is true. But sometimes we're going like, is that word true? Was that word true? And sometimes when Jesus gives a word and Peter's asking him, do I step out? And Peter goes, yes, come, then the water's going to hold you up, friend. You're going to walk in a miracle. But many people do not step out of their boat and even ask Jesus. Look at the disciples who didn't even ask Jesus. They weren't even thinking about miracles. They were thinking about the storm and wanted to make it through a storm. How many of you get caught up into that? Yeah, all of us. You get caught up in the storm. You just hope when you make it through this financial storm, this may be really literally a storm, whatever the thing you're going through, some court thing going on, somebody's coming against you, somebody's really fighting you. I can relate to a lot of that. And sometimes you get so caught up into the battle, you don't even ask Jesus. You're not even looking for him to be walking on the sun because you're right out in the middle of that situation all by yourself. Even though there were several people in the boat, it's like they were all – when you don't have Jesus with you, friend, I don't care how many people you got with you. I don't care how much unity you have. If you don't have Jesus with you, you are all alone, though you could be in the midst of a multitude. And a multitude can be all in agreement and believing God. But if they're not looking for Jesus and you get caught up in the storm just trying to make it through the storm and you forget totally everything Jesus told you, because Peter remembered the prophetic words, the prophet words, the teachings that Jesus, he prophesied them. He said, the things I'm doing, you can do greater things. But Peter was looking for that. When he saw the storm was raging, the other guys, they were just hanging on trying to make it through the storm like you and I do sometimes. But Peter, he looks up. He's looking for something, man. He's probably looking for Jesus, and he looks and he sees Jesus and he says, Lord, I mean, you know, you think he would have said, can you stop the storm? You think he would say that, right? Can you stop the storm, Lord? That's what he should have been asking. Can you stop the storm? But no, that's not what he asked. He said, he's thinking about what Jesus prophesied to him. Oh, my friend, think about that. He is thinking about what Jesus prophesied to him, that greater things can you do than I do. You're going to do greater things. Amen. And so Peter had that on his mind. When he saw Jesus, he remembered that prophecy Jesus gave him. And he said, Lord, if it's true that this could happen, bid me to come unto you. And he's the only one that I asked, and he's the only one that got the miracle. Are you hearing what I'm telling you tonight? He was the only one in the boat that got the miracle because he was looking for it. He didn't give up, you know, I don't know. I'm just that tired of all this prophecy stuff. You know, is any of it really true? Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. But when you're in a storm in the boat and you never know whether you're going to make it through that storm or not, you get caught up in the storm just trying to make it through the storm. Don't forget the words that Jesus has spoken to you. that the prophets have spoken, that those that are speaking by the Spirit of God has spoken to you. Because you can just keep your hope up. If you can just keep your head up out of the boat, right, and looking for Jesus, when he comes to walking on the storm, right, when you can go down, you remember, oh, yeah, I remember that prophecy Jesus gave all of us. Greater works shall we do. And Peter activated it. Hallelujah. Just like many of you have activated the work of the Lord lately. And some of you are just waiting for the situation. But, friend, you can't do like the guy who was waiting for the angel. That was a limited situation. Jesus is unlimited. He will stir up your heart. And when he stirs up your heart, step out. When he stirs it up, Peter's heart was stirred up like the water's going to be stirred up later. God stirred up his heart. He said, bid me to come, Lord. And Jesus said, amen. Come on, brother. He walked. He got a taste of the supernatural in a way that very few people have ever had a taste of. Walking on water is one of those special, miraculous events that I've ever seen with anything and anybody. Any kind of fashion. It's amazing. And Jesus said, the things I do, you can do also. If you can keep your head up when the storm is raging, when the fears are coming against you, when everything says you're not going to make it, keep your head up. Oh, I know it's easy to hang our head down and try to hide and just hang on to the boat and just seek God, please let me make it through this situation that I'm in. You know, I just hope it'll take me down. I hope I make it. You know, I'm talking to all of us tonight. And all of a sudden, here Jesus comes. But Peter was looking for him. Oh, yeah, you got to be looking for the word of the Lord. You got to be looking for Jesus. Jesus is the word of the Lord. When he says, get up out of that boat and walk after Peter asked him, then he did it. He didn't sit there any longer. He got up. He stepped into it, and it is amazing what God did. The same thing tonight. Jeannie's here with us. I asked her to come on tonight and share her testimony. And it's just exciting. You just got to hear it. And there's all kinds of numbers involved. Let me tell you this one thing before I get her on here. Some of you maybe weren't listening on Wednesday night at a certain time of the night, but if Andrea is listening, she'll know. She'll confirm this, and also it's documented on the show. But on Wednesday night, I was going through a tonight that I try to pray for everyone who calls in for to be get prayed for, and get ministered to, or get prophesied to, whatever. And we ministered, you know, from 20 to 30 to 40 people sometimes, just depending on what's going on. And Andrea was my next caller, right? So listen to this. Y'all, listen to this. Jeannie's going to come on and give her testimony right after this, and you're going to love it because it's powerful. We may spend the whole night doing this. I don't know. We're going to try to prophesy to people, too. Let's just play it by ear and see what God does. So Wednesday night, I get to Andrea. I see Andrea's number down there, and I go, okay, Andrea. And she said, yeah, Randy, here I am. I'm on it. So I said, I'm going to mute you, and then I'm going to prophesy over you. So as soon as I muted her, within a few seconds, I started singing a little silly song. You know, sometimes the silly songs that I sing. And the song was, I am on my way to San Jose. And I stopped, and I went, San Jose? California? I mean, you know, Andrea was muted, so she couldn't even answer anything. I said, San Jose, California. I said, you know what? There's something about an earthquake in San Jose, California. Well, I don't even know where San Jose is, right? I know it's in California. That's all I know. And I know the song. I don't even know where San Jose is at. Well, couldn't find out. San Jose is the where Google is, where all the big tech people are. That's the city that they're in is San Jose. Well, San Jose just happens to be on the San Andreas, that's his name, San Andreas, fault line, right on the fault line, right there at the head of it or the beginning of it or the end of it, I can whichever way you look at it, right on it, San Jose is right on it, you can Google it for yourself. And so I realized tonight when I was putting this together is that I was talking to, giving a word to Andrea, and I started singing a song, which I've never done. She'll say, I've never sung a song, you know, I'm on my way to San Jose. San Jose, I didn't even think about San Jose being anything. But San Jose is where the San Andreas, San Andrea, which means St. Andrew, really, but it says St. Andrew. So I look at that and I go, oh, my gosh, that's Andrea's name, San Andreas. You know, look how names, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about numbers tonight and names, how things match up, and we're seeing a lot of it. And you're going to see it with Jeannie's testimony, how names and numbers matching up are coming up. It's amazing, friend. So I'm talking to Andrea. I'm prophesying to Andrea. I start singing a silly little song about going to San Jose. Looked up San Jose. San Jose was right on the right on, at the head of the San Andreas fault line. Well, guess what? That was on Wednesday. Actually, it was into Thursday. It was like after, around 11:45, almost Thursday, almost Friday, I mean. And so on Friday, less than 48 hours later, an earthquake hit Japan, a 7.0 earthquake hit Japan. Well, I didn't know it, but Andrea, who was I was prophesying to, had heard some guy, some prophet guy named Kent Christmas. He said she texted me, she emailed me or texted me, I was going, he said, Randy, somebody named Kent Christmas just gave a word that an earthquakes are going to start going across the world that are going to really destroy a lot of things. He didn't say a city, a name of any city that I know of, or any, he said it, not only here in America but around the world. Earthquakes were going to start shaking and causing a lot of damage around the world. He didn't mention the name of anything. But so I thought it was kind of unusual that here I'm talking about an earthquake shaking San Jose, you know, and San Jose has earthquakes all the time, but when I get worried about earthquakes, it's not the ones that happen all the time. It's a special thing. I've given earthquake words before, and when they hit, they shake the whole city, and things get tore up. It's a major event. So I'm not talking about just things that happen all the time. So then I get a text from Noel. Noel says, well, you know, I have a son that lives there, and they have earthquakes all the time, like little ones. I say, I'm going, yeah, I saw that. Interesting. I know that they do have them all the time, but, you know. So, but the earthquake that I'm talking about for San Jose is not going to be just, you know, it's going to be like between seven and a nine. And so, you know, I don't have a word from the Lord on the exact number. But it's going to be more than just a little shaker. And so here within 30 to 48 hours after I gave that word about San Jose, California having an earthquake, Japan gets shaken, and then watch this. Y'all got to watch this, man. At the same, within just a few moments later, in Iceland, a volcano that hadn't erupted, and listen to the numbers, 800 years. And Iceland, you can Google all this, all you want. I'll send you the article if you can't find it. It's easy, it'd be easy to find it. This happened this weekend. In Iceland, at the same time the earthquake shook in Japan, a 7.1, 7.2 earthquake, there was an eruption of the volcano in Iceland. It had not erupted in 800 years. It didn't do a lot of erupting, but you see the pictures. The molten ash was going. It was overflowing. Iceland was having an eruption that had not happened. Now watch this. In 800 years. Guess what else has 800 to it? The San Andreas fault line is 800 miles long. I just happened to catch that number when I saw the information. The volcano hadn't erupted in 800 years. It erupted for the first time in 800 years after the Japan earthquake, about 30 to 40 hours after I gave the word about San Jose, which is on San Andreas fault line. Hadn't erupted 800 years, and then I was doing research on the San Andreas fault line because I don't know much about it, and it says it is 800 miles long. I'm going, oh, my gosh. Look at the numbers. Look at the St. Andreas, and plus I was prophesying to Andrea. you know, these little things, they may not seem like much to people, but if you don't pay attention to them, you'll miss them. So I'm teaching you tonight. This is the teaching sort of tonight. All right? So that was amazing to me. And also the I don't want to get into too much information because most of it will be lost, but it's on the Pacific fault line. The San Andreas goes into the Pacific, which is connected. The Pacific fault line or Pacific plate it runs all the way up right next to Japan where this earthquake was. In other words, it's connected to that earthquake, to the area of Japan, even though it wasn't the Pacific plate that shook in Japan. If you do research on it, it's right there. It's all connected. It's connected with two little fault lines. You'll see it there when you do circle. So, friend, this is amazing. Look at the numbers. Look at the name. I'm prophesying to Andrea. You know, it's on the San Andreas fault line, the San Jose. San Jose is where the big tech, one of the wealthiest cities in the world, where all the big tech people are. Silicon Valley. It's right there. So, and don't forget, Noelle has a son that lives there. I think she said in San Jose. Anyway, pray for him. Pray for them. Pray that this thing will not happen. I'm giving you a warning. So, you know, you always take a risk of things not happening when you cross and tell people pray for it, that it won't happen. You always risk that. So, I've been through this before. And, you know, so there you go. I wanted you to hear that. All right. So I think I downloaded that and I got it out in the open. And most of you probably didn't even know I shared that, but I was prophesying to, you know, on Wednesday night when I prophesied to everybody, go from caller to caller. When I got to Andrea, some of you might have been listening, I just, you know, got her on there and then, hey, Andrea, and then started prophesying, started singing a little song. I'm on my way to San Jose. And then you'll hear it on the recording that I said, there's something about an earthquake in San Jose. So I started looking up San Jose right here on the show and Googling. I Googled it right then, trying to look it up and to see where it was. I wasn't even sure where San Jose was. Trying to find out. It's Silicon Valley, the richest. Think about all the things that have been going on in the media lately with how they're treating Christians, Google and all those guys in the Silicon Valley. Okay? You got to think about what the purpose of this thing is and pray mercy that God will bring repentance, you know, to Google and all the high-tech people. It is the richest, it is the wealthiest city in the world, one of the richest cities in the world. All right, are y'all with me tonight? Y'all hearing me tonight? Am I coming through okay? My phone, audio's doing okay? All right, just making sure I'm missing anything. All right, Perry Stone has been having dreams of tsunamis in the U.S. This is Jeannie. Jeannie sent this to me. Perry Stone has been having dreams of tsunamis in the USA that will be devastating. They will be caused by earthquakes. Yeah, earthquakes do cause tsunamis. When those tectonic plates, you know, move around, it causes the water. When the earthquake is in the ocean, the earthquake has to be in the ocean in order for a tsunami to happen because it has to be in the waters. When the tectonic plates in the oceans, you know, move around, then it causes big waves to go. If the earthquake is not in the ocean, then it won't cause a tsunami, right? So the earthquake in Japan, 7.0, 7.2, did cause a little bit. If you read the news, you'll see it caused a little bit of a tsunami, not much of one, but they had a little tsunami hit. So in other words, I'm telling you all this tonight to pray, all of our PGN family, to pray tonight. And Jeannie says Perry Stone. I did not know Perry Stone said there's that brings a tsunami. Tsunamis have to be earthquakes in the ocean. So in other words, he's saying earthquakes in the ocean. Interesting, very, very interesting. Okay, let's get Jeannie on here tonight and share and see what's going on. All right, so I want you to hear her testimony. All right, Jeannie.
Good evening.
Are you on? Can you hear me okay?
I am. I'm hearing just fine. Sure.
I'm coming through. Yeah. I'm going to put my earpiece in. If it changed anything, somebody let me. That way I can make sure and hear everything you say. We can have a good conversation. Can everybody still hear me okay? It's not cracking up or anything?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. All right, Jeannie. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You've had a breakthrough. Hallelujah. You've been
praise
working on.
God.
I may not get to talk. You know, y'all know, it'd be a miracle if I get to say anything during this testimony. And which will be awesome. That'll be great. That'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? But Jeannie has had, she's been believing God for what, 4 years for this particular situation to happen, right? Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. It would be 4 years in May, so just shy of 4 years.
Right. Four years. You've been going to attorneys, right? A couple of different attorneys. You got one attorney that didn't do anything much, so you got another one.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And so, so that process has taken you through about 4 years of trying to explain what you were trying to do so people kind of understand. You can do better than I can.
My mother had passed away in 2016, and then my dad passed away in 2017. They had separate wills, but I guess I'll have to go back a little bit. Back in 2013, going back that far, you began to actually give me prophetic words stating that there was some deception coming. There was some deception going on in the family and that it was something that I may have to deal with legally. Then in 2014, I went to Hot Springs to a meeting up there. Don't even remember the lady's name, had never met her before, have never seen her since. But this beautiful black lady gave me a prophetic word, and she said, you're going to receive the sevenfold blessing. And, of course, she said a few things in there with that. But the sevenfold, you know, most people when they pray, they're praying a hundredfold blessing. Well, the sevenfold blessing actually is in Proverbs, and it's about a thief. And it said if a thief be caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his home. So she had promised, she says, you are going to receive the sevenfold blessing. And I thought it odd when I heard it. I thought, okay. So, you know, during these time I had been praying and just asking the Lord, okay, waiting to see what was happening. So then when Mom passed away and she had a separate will from Dad, they had done two separate wills, then I received what my mother had for me, but it was with some my sister had already passed away. And my oldest brother was not in the will because he's already wealthy. He's wealthy in his own right. So it was just between me and a brother. Well, when Mom passed away, there were some things. I kept catching him in lies, basically. And there were some things, some discrepancies and some funds that seemed to be missing and things. So the whole time I was praying and this and that. So a couple of months before Dad died, I went about it the way the Lord, you know, you had told me once, you know, do things the way the Lord would say, that you go to them personally. You know, like it says, if you catch a brother sinning in the church, you go to them personally and talk to them.
Right.
And then if they don't receive it, then you go with like a member of the church and you talk to them. If they don't, then you take it public. So when this begun, I'm getting a lot of static on there. It seems like a lot of static to your phone or something. Okay, so in May of, 2017, then I called my brother to talk to him and told him, I said, there's just some things here that aren't adding up. I would like to see my parents' financial records. And he basically said, get you a lawyer. And I said, okay. And I said, well, how about I meet with your lawyer and you and just the three of us talk? So once again, I did not hire a lawyer immediately. I went, called his lawyer, which was the probate lawyer, and went and just sat down with the two of them and said, look, I would really like to see Mom and Dad's financial records so I can kind of see for myself kind of what's been going on here. And I was not received at all. So at that point, I went ahead and hired an attorney to represent me just to get a hold of the financial records, you know, not trying to change the will or not contesting the will or anything, just trying to get a hold of financial records, which as an heir, I felt that I had every right to see. The first lawyer I hired, well, at first when I went to the first lawyer, she did not want the case because she said that was not her area of expertise, sent me to another lawyer. He was going to take the case till he realized who the judge was in that county, which has a very strong reputation all over Texas as being very crooked and has kind of a corrupt legal system in that county. And the second lawyer, when he realized who the judge was, he says, I can't go up against him. And he gave me my deposit back and said, no, thanks. So then I called at least two other lawyers to try to get them to take the case, and they turned it down because of just all of the paperwork and stuff that would have to be do with it. So no one wanted my case, and I'm like, Lord, how do I do this? So I went back to the original lawyer and talked to her again. She accepted the case, took my deposit money or retainer money, but then for a year and a half she did absolutely nothing. So finally I went in to talk to her one day, not knowing what to do. It's like, okay, it's been a year and a half, not one thing has happened. And when I went in and sat down with her with some figures, I could tell it was like she was confused. And it was like immediately I heard the Lord say, she has dementia, get your stuff and go. And so anyhow, when I realized that because she was in her 70s, she was in her early 70s already, you know, I just went ahead and got my records. And I said this earlier, the girl that was the receptionist, as I was, you know, getting ready to leave and stuff, she told me, I told her, I said, you know, I don't know what to do. And she very quietly, kind of under her breath, told me, she said, I know another very good lawyer here. I know him personally. They will do you a good job. And she gave me the name and phone number of another lawyer in Longview. So I contacted the other lawyer and went to them, and they did initially start finding the things that I needed and getting a list, an accounting. I think they call it an accounting. It did not get all of the records I need, but it was what legally I could get a hold of, an accountant, and then hired a forensic accountant to go through some things. But then it seemed like she dropped the ball in that she just wasn't moving forward with stuff. And, of course, then she got COVID in the early fall, like the end of August, and was sick for like 10 weeks, 2.5 months. And it just seemed like she kept putting others ahead of myself. You know, we got a little bit done, but it was like every little thing would take 3 or 4 months, you know, in the talking back and forth. And so finally, in November, I really felt the Lord say to settle the case, to go ahead and settle, that we had gotten as much information as we could get. And I just really felt the Lord saying to settle. And she contacted me and said that they would like to settle. And I told her, I said, let's settle. And then everything just stopped again. And nothing was happening. And so then I guess it was the early part. It was in January. I don't remember exactly the early part, maybe mid-January. I just felt to start kind of rattling her cage a little bit. You know, she had given me permission to text her. So I started texting her saying, have you heard anything? Are you hearing anything? You know, should we do this? Should we do that? You know, do we need to file something else? Can you send them? Anyhow, I started just, you know, kind of reminding her every couple of weeks, okay, I would like to move this on. It doesn't seem like anything's happening, and I'm trusting you to get this settled pretty soon. And the whole time, of course, praying and having all you guys pray and a couple other friends pray and just, you know, keeping it before the Lord.
Right.
And so finally, she had told me, I had contacted her again a couple of weeks ago, and she had told me, she said, or actually a few days ago, and she told me, she said, I have emailed him, and now I have sent him a certified letter that we want this done within 30 days. And it was the first time she had really stepped up and put a time limit on it. And so I thought, okay, we'll hear something here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But in the meantime,
did you ask her to do that, or she's going to do it on her own?
She did that on her own. She did that on her own.
Okay.
And it was funny because during the whole 3 or 4 years, I kept seeing the numbers 555, which is grace. And it was just God giving me grace through this waiting period.
Yeah.
You know, in the meantime, things being said to other family members that were not true and you know, being villainized and things like that. But this over the last 12 months, I guess starting last March or April, somewhere in there, I started seeing the numbers 1111. And then, of course, as you know, I sent you here a while back from Doug Addison. It was about transition and about God
right.
giving us the revelation of how to make the transition, of how to get through that. And at times, I mean, it was very discouraging when I would wait for 3 or 4 months and would have heard nothing, and it seemed like the lawyer was on the other case. But anyhow, she had told me last week that she had sent a certified letter and an email demanding that this be settled within 30 days, and not knowing whether we would have to go to court before this judge that has such a horrible reputation. She had talked to him about a mediator, which is preferable, but still another $3,000 or $4,000 to have to add to pay for a mediator. So anyhow, she called me today and said she had been talking to the opposing lawyer for about 30 minutes, and they went over the demands. Turns out some of the things we had demanded on my part, just that things be done fairly, that they already had kind of the exact same idea, or maybe they were confused about it. I'm not sure, but as they started going over records and stuff, they said, well, that's the same thing we were thinking. There was only one thing that was done differently that I had requested legal fees, but with on that side of them not taking out their executor award or whatever you would call it, that it comes out about the same. So anyhow, when she called me today and said they will do this and this and this, and it was all pretty well what I had already requested, I said, I'm good with that. And she said, well, I will contact him back. And she said, we're not even going to have to use a mediator. She said that will save that time. You know, won't have to go to meeting, plus won't have to be out that $3,000 or $4,000. And she said they will send all the paperwork to her that I'll be able to go in and sign. Don't have to go to court whatsoever, and it'll be done. Praise God.
So basically, that did it.
It did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll take right. them. They've got to get all the mineral right deeds and stuff in order so that all that transfers all at once. So, you know, it may take a couple of weeks or a week or two to get the mineral right deeds done. I don't know. They'll do that through the courthouse or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, basically, they've agreed.
Okay.
I've agreed. Now it's just the paperwork and the signing, and that's over.
Right. So what you've been looking for 4 years has finally happened. Whoops, there's a few alarms.
Exactly. You know, all the time I'm going to lawyer
this,
and talking.
Right. You've been looking for this for 4 years, and finally, right before Passover, which is really cool, you know, Passover is what, next Saturday or next Saturday? I think next Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's next Saturday. It's next Saturday, the 27th. Is that Friday or Saturday?
Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, Saturday. Okay. So Passover.
The 22nd,
So Passover, the 27th, got it. The part of the story I want to tell, and a lot of PGN people have prayed for you, a lot of people have prophesied over you, ministered to you, different things, but just in the last, just since last Wednesday, I don't remember exactly what the word was about last Wednesday, but Wednesday or Thursday, trying to think when that was that. What the exact word was last Wednesday and Thursday. But anyway, so what happened was, just to show everybody how cool the prophetic is and its role that it played, I was going to help me remember some of the stuff. I can't remember all the timing, but
yeah, you had gone to the post office. I think I had texted you about some of this going on and just, you know, at that time was a little bit discouraged about it. And let me see if I can find some of the text. And you had gone to the post office. And you had found that the 333 and things happening soon, and had found that flyer.
Yeah, hang on. That's my part of the story. That's my part. Anyway, so we're excited about this, y'all, because I know, as everybody else on PGM, we've been praying for Jeannie for a long time. As Jeannie has other friends, other prophets who have ministered to her and different people. It's been a great thing going on, but it's been going on for about 4 years, and just no results hardly at all. I mean, it's just been really, like, pulling teeth. And so you sent me a text and said something about looks like there's some kind of agreement on the case. They're going to settle out of court. Now, that was before that. Let me back up here.
Yeah, that was today.
Okay, that's today. I'm sorry. I'm messing up my part of the story because, God.
You are.
All right. I am. Anyway, I'm trying to find out. I didn't go up far enough here. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna go back and find that. I didn't go far enough.
Yeah, we've talked quite a bit on text here in the last week or two, so you have to go back through quite a bit of text to find all this.
There's a lot. Yeah, so we had boy, help me out here, Jesus. Okay, so I had gone to the, Thursday or Friday? When did I go to the post office, Thursday or Friday when I texted you?
I think it was Friday. Let me see.
Okay,
I'm trying to hunt this.
Okay, so you guys, Friday, I'm going to the post office, and you had texted me about some information, and so I'm going to the post office, and here's the part of the testimony I want to share about how God just intervened. There's a lot more to the story than this, but just this happened in the last few days. So I'm going to the post office this last Friday, and I pulled up to the post office, and I got my mail. The only mail that I had was this flyer that had pictures of jewels and, you know, an advertisement, you know, rings and jewels and, you know, that kind of thing. And I looked at it, and the Lord said, "This is for Jeannie." I'm going, "This is for Jeannie? What do you mean? It's an advertisement, an ad, you know?" It's the only thing I got in the mail that day. And so I took a picture of it, and I got back in my truck. And when I got back in my truck, it was 333 exactly. I texted you proof of that when I gave it to you, that it was 333 exactly. And I sent you that picture. I said, "This is for you." I said, "This has something to do with Exodus 12, 35 and 36, where, you know, Moses told them to go get the money from the Egyptians." And I said, God's about to break you through. 333. He said, "What does 333 mean?" You asked me, "What does 333 mean?" And I'm going like, it means, three means complete. So your situation is about to be completely completed.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sitting here looking at the text. Absolutely.
Okay. We documented all this. I'm kind of messing up on my part of the documentation here. So I told Jeannie, I said, this has to do with you and your situation with your attorney and your inheritance. Get ready because it's going to finally going to break through. And this is before she knew it was going to break through. This is before that, I don't know exactly what happened, the timing on it, but your attorney.
My attorney sent the letter. Yeah, when I initially sent you the text, it was Thursday. I sent you a text and I said, "My lawyer just sent a letter to my brother's lawyer demanding the settlement meeting be done within 30 days with a list of my demands." And I said, "We'll see what happens." And
that's when
the post office. Yeah.
Yeah, stop right there. Okay, so the reason that I thought that was interesting, the reason I asked you if you told her to do that was because on Thursday night's prophecy, it was about Moses going back and asking Pharaoh until he got the answer. In other words, he didn't quit asking until Israel got delivered. And that was either Wednesday or Thursday or both words. I can't remember. We'll have to go back and get the exact word. But the whole thing that made me think that you had her do that was because the whole word I gave you was about just keep, you know, just like Elijah told the servant, just keep going looking for that cloud. Don't stop looking for that cloud until that cloud shows up. And so I thought that you had, I never even asked you till tonight, I thought that you had told her to go do it because of that word. I didn't know. Now you told me that wouldn't happen. But God was doing something. He was getting your attorney with the timing of that, what I saw as a prophetic word of go ask again. And that's why I thought you had her do it. You know, I never even asked you because I just thought, oh, you got up and you told them to go. Remember I told you that that the reason this miracle happened was because you kept pressing them to do it, which is part of the word that we went up that was for you for Wednesday and Thursday, mm-hmm. was about, you know, go and ask, you know, like Moses did, like the unjust judge, and just keep
right.
going because they're going to go, I'm going to give it to you because you're such a pain in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the words that I take.
Exactly. Yeah, you talk about the unjust judge, and, you know, my part, of course, I couldn't really communicate with the attorney down there. I had to communicate with my attorney. So I kept kind of pressuring my attorney, who then would put pressure on the attorney down there. But absolutely, I mean, I had not told her to put a letter to them because I wasn't even aware that she could, that doing a certified letter would make a difference. But I did just keep saying, I'm trusting you to get this completed, and I see no reason for further delay. And I just kind of kept, you know, sending little text messages
yeah.
to her. She just up and did that, sent him an email and then a certified letter saying, we want this completed in 30 days. And so I didn't know if it would take 30 days to hear back from him or what. But as it
okay.
turned out, I mean, he only sent that like Wednesday or Thursday. And, you know, I mean, here we heard back today already.
I know, that's amazing. And that's never happened
mm-hmm.
before. And so the thing I was thinking about was that God was moving on your attorney. I don't think she's ever put a date like that before, right? Is that the first time she's done that?
She has not. No, she
okay,
never
so,
has.
So to me, it was God. When you text that to me, I thought you told her to do it. That's why I said, you know, but come to find out, God was moving on your behalf, you know, even though you had been pushing her and pushing her and pushing her. She finally broke through after those words about Moses and the unjust judge, and go this and the 333 word, you know, that your situation is about to be completely completed, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 it happens, and you're texting me today saying it's done. I mean, I was in,
mm-hmm.
I was in shock. I was like going, oh my God, you mean that thing actually happened? Oh, you know, because I've been walking with you through this for. You know, for a long time, as well as other people have too. And so you said it's been going on for 4 years. And
yeah, I started getting prophetic words about it 3 years prior to that.
Yeah, on Thursday, yes, right, exactly, and without even knowing really that was going to happen. On Thursday,
mm-hmm.
this last Thursday, you sent me a text saying my lawyer sent a letter to my brother demanding – a settlement. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what you sent me. And that's when I started going
yeah.
with all this stuff about that's why everything after that was for you, because you had told me that your attorney said that, and now all of a sudden I'm getting this 333 thing with the only thing I got in the mail that day was this thing called Jim Jewelry Show. And I sent it to you. I said, listen girl, something's going on with this. And the time on my clock on my truck was 333, and I took a picture
mm-hmm.
of it, sent a phone to it to confirm it, everything to document everything, and I said I just got to my pickup from the mail, picked up my mail from the ministry, and there was this thing in there, and then I got back to my truck and it was 333, so I texted you and you said, what do you think that means? And I said, well, it means that. What happened at the Passover, they got the gold and the silver and the jewels. And even the Bible says they got jewels. I never even paid attention to that until that happened to us that day by texting. I never even realized, I thought, well, the jewels, that's not in the Bible. You know, duh. And I went and I opened it up, and sure enough, it said jewels, which was exactly
mm-hmm.
what that advertisement said that I sent you a picture of. As I was getting in my truck at 333, and I said 333 means completely completed. Passover is just in a few days. It's something to do with that. After the angel of death passed over, they went and got the gold and silver and jewels. Exodus 12, 35, 36. And then I sent you that scripture, and you said, awesome. And you said, here's what Jeannie said. She says, I am so ready. I can't even
yeah.
imagine. Yeah, you see, she says, I'm so ready. And then I said, the reason I have that up is because I've been listening to this very scripture within the last few minutes. In other words, I was listening to that scripture on the way to the mailbox. And when that thing came in there and you sent me that thing about your lawyer, the Lord says, this advertisement is a sign for you. And you said, when I got through giving you all that information, you said, that has got to be a sign. Wow, that's got to be a sign. And listen to this, Jeannie.
Yeah.
Listen to this. I just gave you a word. Remember when Tanisha gave her testimony about her about the house and what a miracle that was? And
uh-huh.
So then I gave her a word, I think the next she gave a testimony on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I gave her a word saying that something about that's a sign, like Abraham, like Moses got a sign, you know, of the rod turning into a serpent and then put his hand in it.
Exactly.
You
said God's going to do something personal. Yeah, you said God's going to do something personal that was going to be a sign to me.
Yes, and then I told you the same thing. I went right to you, and it's very seldom that I repeat a word. I went to Jeannie, and I said, you know what, Jeannie, the same word, basic word I gave to her is for you tonight. There's something about God. Listen to this. It's all documented. I said, God is about to give you a sign. Remember that? About to give you a sign. That your breakthrough is now, or something like that. I said a sign that your breakthrough is going to happen, like it's happening. And then that's what you said on this text. You said, wow, Randy, that 333 and the picture of a jewel advertisement that I sent you, you said that has to be the sign. That's what you said. And I said, oh, okay,
mm-hmm.
Nice. I'm very excited. Something in me is screaming out, let my inheritance go. And you said, yeah, me too. No more being held back. And then I said, Jesus, 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 our Passover lamb, let it be done according to thy word and the sign. And then you said, the promised land awaits. Amen, Jesus, be it unto me, even as your word. And I said, last night's word. Now watch this, y'all. This is amazing. I don't know if everybody can keep up with all this. There's so much stuff. But forgive us for not being more prepared. But I asked her to come on tonight so to share this. And I said that. I said, last night's word to you was on the 17th of March. 10 days after that is the 27th. 10 days. I said the 10th
mm-hmm.
plague was the one for Passover. 10 days.
Yeah.
10 days with the 10 plagues, and that's going to happen this week, the 27th. And the number 17 means victory. So you said, man, that's sobering, my brother. Come to senses and all that. Is that your only? Sorry, I see all these questions.
Yeah, you had asked if I had another sibling and whatnot. So, but I mean, absolutely a sign that when I text you and then you're in the post office, just come out having seen that about the jewels and it being at 333, which is completely completed. And just amazing. And I can even remember you got me a word not too long ago. You said that you saw me being blessed by the far left. And I wondered about that, but in talking with my lawyer, now this has been a few weeks ago, and I kind of guessed this just from listening to her, but she had told me that she was a liberal, that she was a liberal with Democrat, like basically a Democrat beliefs. But then she had even told me today that she had been doing things in a way to cost me the least amount of money, like in legal fees, that there were things that she had not filed that would cost me extra money. And like all the text messages I've been sending her lately, typically every time you would send a text message to an attorney, they're going to charge you for even reading your text messages and texting you back. They might charge you $100 per text message. And she told me, and I knew that. I mean, I knew that going into it. And she told me today, she says, I've not charged you for any of your text messages and answering you and stuff. So I thought, that's amazing that here's someone that is basically has a far left belief for the most part that's been blessing me.
Yeah. I remember, I couldn't believe that when I was going to get blessed by the far left. What does that mean? That is crazy.
Well, I wondered too, but then when I thought about all of this and what she even said, I thought, she's been blessing me, because attorney fees are high enough as it is, but she's been blessing me because she certainly legally could have been charging me extra for the text messages and could have filed more things that would have just run the bill up, and she's tried to do things in a way that it would cost me the least in that sense. definitely a blessing.
That's cool. That's really cool. Wow. And then you got that word about the 11-11. You kept seeing 11-11 a lot because we're talking tonight about numbers a little bit. And you asked me one night, what does 11-11 mean? I said something really kind of ignorant, like, well, I know what 11 means. 11 means disorder, but I said being twice, that disorder is going to come into order. And so that didn't fit real good, and we kind of like, okay. And then so the next day, I think you got some information from Doug somebody.
Addison.
Anyway, yes, thank you, Addison. Yeah, Doug Addison, right. And he said 11-11 meant transition, that it's, you know, like 11 o'clock is right before the hour's going to turn to midnight, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
That literally, and then the night we were talking on the show, it just happened. Remember, I said, Gene, I was so shocked. I looked up and it's 11. I said, Gene, it's 11-11 right now. And
yeah.
It was actually 11-11 right when we were talking about that very thing. And that was not planned at all.
No. I mean, that could never be planned to work like that. But yeah, when I had Googled and checking, and that Doug Addison word came up, he said that the 11-11 is transition for like going to the promised land, but it also is revelation on how to achieve that transition. And I thought, you know, when I really felt in November to settle, and then I had mentioned it to you, I don't remember if it was on the phone or in a text, and maybe both. And then you said that feels good. That feels good. That to settle feels good. And that was what I was feeling, was to go ahead and tell them that we would settle, or that I would settle. So God, and even in the part when the Lord, I just started feeling to begin to send messages to my attorney to kind of punch her up of, come on, let's move on with this. Then I mean, that's revelation on how to get through.
That is. That really is. That was really great. God spoke that to you personally and gave you that strategy. That was really good. And then that was in November. So you had, December, January, February, March. I mean, that's still 4 months. It hadn't come out even after that. And so it's just so cool how God did it. And, because I just remember the last few times I prophesied to you, because I pay attention to it, because I kind of know the situation. It was about, you know, go back like Moses went back, and the unjust judge, go back again, and don't quit going back. And you didn't even ask your attorney to go make that special notice. I mean, she did that on her own, which tells me the Holy Ghost was on working on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Working on the lefty.
Absolutely.
Call her a lefty right now. Working on the lefty to get her to, and that's what did it, man. I mean, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yep. I mean, God's just been in the middle of it, and just you know, being at Passover, it's like, you know, we're crossing over, and you see things with Tanisha and what God's doing with you with the studio. And what I heard with Tanisha, I was so excited when I heard about, you know, the Lord bringing their house forth and all, because I know, you know, that God's been preparing to relocate us and to get us in the place of destiny and the place that He's called us to. And, because settling this case has been a big part of getting to finally relocate. To get things done here so that we can put this property up for this house up for sale, and go ahead and purchase the next, you know, the place that God has for us. So, pretty awesome.
You've been working on a house. You and Hollis, your husband, have been working on looking for a house for like 8 years.
Right. We had actually begun looking a couple years before that. And we were looking over around the Tyler area, kind of the outskirts, and that was when in 2012 you gave me the word and said, this year somehow God's going to show you the area you're supposed to be. And I'm like, what? And that was Christmas of that year, which the last week of the year, then the Lord took us back to Wood County, up in the Mineola area. And when we got up there, it's like, oh, my gosh, this is where we're supposed to be. And so since Christmas 2012, or actually New Year's Day of 2013, because it snowed that day, we went back. Since January 1 of 2013, we have been looking up in the Wood County areas and surrounding and just letting God lead us on the towns up there. I think I told him before that we would go into some towns because we didn't know how big the circumference was, you know, how big the area was that God was having us look. we knew which county that felt the most right. But we would go into certain towns and we would feel like a comfort, a happy feeling, and we would maybe go into another town close by and we would, both of us, would just get a no, like, this is not it, this is not it. And so in the period of 8 years, we've narrowed it down to about four or five little towns in that area that have a good feel. And God's kind of, you know, slowly but surely showed us kind of, you know, kind of the area we're supposed to be. And, you know, we're currently looking seriously at one property and have just been waiting to see if God brought it that together, if that's actually the one or if there's another. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And I'm going to go back to that, all the stuff that happened on Thursday. The words were just increasing about Moses and go back and, you know, keep going until you get it, like the unjust judge and that kind of thing. And also other people who did the same thing. And all of a sudden, you know, you sent me that thing about your attorney did something new, which, you know, wasn't a new thing that she did something, but that I know of. And so you and then that very day, that's when all this stuff about the when the mail came in. And the only thing I had in the mail was an advertisement about the jewels, and it was, I got back in my truck, took a picture of it exactly at 333 as it's on her phone, and the Lord said, you know, this is for Jeannie. This is all for Jeannie. I'm going, okay, well, this is awesome, man, so I'll send it to her, you know, and started sending all that to you, and you said, what does 333 mean? I said, this whole thing with your case with that's going on with you is about to be completely completed. That's what 333 means. That's all on our text as I text that to you. And then we got into the Passover and the timing of your words on March the 17th, how that, you know, that's 10 days until Passover, which the 10 plagues, you know, on the 10th plague is when they got the blessing. And I was connecting all that and sending all that to you. And we were just having fun, man. It was amazing. So now it's actually, you know, between the attorneys, it's done. It's done now. It's just a matter of the paperwork and all that. And that'd be cool if it happens before the 27th. I don't know. It may take a couple of weeks to do that, but we'll see what happens. But listen to this, Jeannie. The Passover goes from the 27th, I think, to what, the 3rd of April.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
if it happened next week, it would be in there.
Yeah. Yeah, if that's what God wants to do, if it happens, you know, like that, that'd be awesome. But it's just amazing how all those numbers and all those things, the timing, that getting a piece of mail from, I've never gotten an advertisement that I know of in my mail, in my business mail.
Huh.
I just don't get advertisements from my business in my business mail for some reason. Since I've gotten my new box, I don't know why they don't put them in there. Maybe because it's a little bitty box. But that's why I was surprised. I went, this is weird, you know. And Lord said, this is for Jeannie, the jewels. And I didn't even connect the actual scripture in Exodus 12 when it says they went to the neighbors and asked, was jewels. It literally, remember I looked it up. I said, hang on a second, I'm going to look this up.
Yep.
I don't think it has anything to do with jewels. That's what I said, like a duh, like a preacher didn't know what he's talking about. And so I got on there and I read it, and I was so excited. I said, you got to... Girl, that's exactly what it says. It's jewels, and we were just kind of like going back. Oh my God, this is amazing. So this is really cool. What a great breakthrough with numbers and all the words and all the things, all the prayers of God's people, and all of a sudden one day, boom, it's done right before Passover, about a week before Passover.
Yep.
So
I can't remember what the date was, but I remember back, it might have been late November, early December, something. I remember one of the nights you gave me a prophetic word and you said, you said, I hear you saying it's done. You said, I don't know if you're calling me or you're texting me, but you said, I just hear you saying it's done.
Oh, my gosh, that's right. I forgot about that. I remember that. I do remember that.
I don't remember the date on it, but it was before the end of the year.
Okay. Wow. Man, this is so awesome. You always have to know, this has been going on for years, and we're here sharing with you tonight because I asked Jeannie, I said, please, whenever you can, come and share it with with the people, and she offered to do it, and I said, that would be, please do it. That would be so awesome. And so we weren't even prepared for it. It just kind of all happened. As you could tell, we were flopping around. At least I was flopping around like a fish out of water, but because I just wasn't, it just happened. I mean, it just literally happened. We wanted to give it to you fresh and unedited, so to speak. And you got it pretty raw, and I'm not sure if all of it made sense or not, but hopefully the overall did. That Jeannie got a breakthrough. She stepped out and said, you know, she's just been, Jeannie's a giver. She helps people. She just loves to help people, and she doesn't just help PG, she helps other people and other friends, and so she's a giver, and being a giver is really great. God can bless you back when you're a giver, that's for sure. But this is so awesome, man. This is so awesome. Wow, wow, wow. All right. Well, anything you want to say about it, and anything else you remember you want to talk about, or?
You know, and off the top of my head, I talked about it some, even on my program that I did tonight. And, you know, I'm just flabbergasted. I mean, I'm just so thrilled and just so happy to finally, you know, because, you know, as we've been looking at properties, there would be things just like, well, you know, we're finding this and finding this property and talking, you know, to realtors, which are probably tired of us by now, knowing that we couldn't really do anything until the case was settled. And I, you know, just been going before the Lord. It's like, oh, Lord, you know, settle so that we can move forward with getting our house up for sale and getting relocated, you know, during the good weather months and things like that. And I'm just, it's just like a weight off my shoulders to know that this is done. Now we're just waiting on the paperwork, sign everything, and then move on, you know, move forward and move on and get where God has destiny and purpose for us.
Just pass on over to the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
During Passover. Look at the timing on this. I mean, this is amazing to me that it's happening. You know, I mean, we don't know exactly when the paperwork's going to be done. That's going to happen for you, but it's going to be somewhere around that time. We don't know exactly, but but it's amazing that it happened, you know, in this Passover season. I mean, everybody's talking about it. I'm going to go see the movie The Passion of the Christ tomorrow because I just want to absorb everything about Jesus and what he did. And I got this scheduled to go, I think, around noon tomorrow to go see The Passion of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, I'm excited, man. We're gonna pass over, y'all. We're going to pass over into the promised land. Yeah. So it's exciting. So get ready, y'all. Yeah, get ready. This Passover season is a season for all of us. I don't know exactly how you're going to pass over or what's going to happen, but just do what the Lord tells you. Like Jeannie was, you know, going after her attorney, please, you know, check again. And then her attorney, did it in an amazing way. So, Jeannie says, Nikki says, Randy, will you have her pray for me? So would you mind praying for Nikki? They're trying to get a house. They're trying to, you know, get their property to and all that. You wouldn't mind paying for her.
Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the blessings for Nikki and Charles that you have for them, Lord. But thank you, Lord, for apprehending even the blessings, Lord, and for the land and the property and the home that you have for them. Lord, I thank you for going before them and making the crooked places straight. Lord, for the wisdom, for the favor, Lord, for the insight, Lord, for connecting them with each and every person that they need to be connected with, Lord, to bring all this about. And, Lord, I thank you for the blessings you have in store for them, Lord, that even as the land, Lord, as the promised land was a land of milk and honey and grapes, Lord, of great blessing, Lord, that the place that you have for them, Lord, also has the blessing of the Lord upon it. And, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all these things coming together. Lord, we thank you for your perfect timing. Lord, we thank you for the provision, Lord, and for things moving smoothly and quickly. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Yeah, and now we may have prayer revival going on. Now we've got Mike from Colorado. I know they're looking for a property. They're doing all that kind of thing going on. Just whatever God speaks to you to pray about for him, for Mike and Veronica from Colorado.
Father, I thank you for Mike and for Veronica, God. And, Lord, I thank you for the place that you've called them, Lord, that you've called them to the high places, Father. Lord, I thank you, God, for the provision, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the direction, God. I thank you, Lord, for connecting them, Lord, to those that they need to be connected with, Lord, to to bring things together. Lord, I thank you for the vision, Lord. Even you said write the vision and make it plain that the vision would not tarry, Lord. I thank you, God, for causing them to know exactly, Lord, that when they, Lord, even as they put their feet upon the land, Lord, that they'll know that this is the place that God has called, the place called there, the place that is, Lord, that has been given through the promise of the Lord. Father, I thank you for directing their steps. Lord, I thank you for bringing things together. And, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the vision. Lord, for the vision and Lord, for the confirmation to them, Lord, that they will know that they know that they know that you what you have given them and that it is theirs and that nothing can stand between them and the purpose and the plans that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, that earthquake situation, I don't know if you were able to hear that or not, but that was kind of odd on Wednesday. I was praying for Andrea, and as I started praying for her, like we do on Wednesday, we just pray for one person after the other. I started singing, you know, I'm on my way to San Jose. It's like I thought it was going to And then San Jose is right on when you go do a research on it and put in there, San Jose and San Andreas fault line, you'll see that it's right there at the head of it. I mean, it's San Jose sitting right there on the San Andreas fault line. And I thought it was so unusual, but I was given a word to Andrea, and the San Jose is on, you know, the San Andreas fault line. And it's something that was kind of odd, you know. It's amazing how names and numbers, y'all, there's something going on with names and numbers, and if you could ask the Lord to help you stay aware of it, it just kind of encourages you. It doesn't always mean it's the answer to everything. It's just an encouragement along the way. Like Jeannie heard 1111 for, you know, quite a while. And so, you never know, but just be encouraged tonight. And Lord, just pray for people tonight, all those that are looking for their breakthrough, looking for their calling, their ministry, whatever it is they're needing to pass over into, that we thank you, Lord, for this season of Passover, that God will people pass over into the wealth, even financially, that they're going to pass over into their homes and their houses, their the mate that they're looking for, maybe wanting to have a child, whatever the situation is. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for that realm of prosperity to come forth in the will of the Father, in Jesus' name. That all the numbers and all the dates and everything just began to line up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just, friend, all I can tell you is just obey God. Do whatever God's telling you to do. Because you step out and go ask that business situation, that job situation, or that whatever it is that you need to ask or go put some pressure on and go seek. And if God's telling you to do that, step out of the boat. Whatever he's telling you with your finances, do what God tells you to do. What God tells you to do. Not people say, "What is the Lord saying?" When he tells you to step out of the boat onto the water frame, you're going to walk on the water. You're going to walk in that place, and then you learn how to do it on a regular basis. It's not easy to live in the supernatural realm. I mean, I don't want to say it's hard. I don't want to make anything hard. But once you break into it, once you break through, you go, "Man, that was easy. Why didn't I do that 10 years ago?" It's just like something happens. I don't know what makes it work. But number one, you have to have a heart to want to do it. You have to be looking for Jesus in the midst of your storm instead of just looking to make it through it. Instead of looking to make it through it, hanging on to the side of the boat, like the other disciples are doing, Peter had his eye on Jesus and looking for Jesus. And when he saw him, believe me, friend, that was the key. And then he asked the Lord, will you bid me to come unto you? And Jesus said, yes, come. And when he did, he walked on the water. And I'm telling you, friend, we are entering into the season of no matter what your storm is, if you will just simply ask God, can I come on this storm? Can I walk on? Friend, if you're looking for him, you will see him. He is right there. But you have to look for him. Peter was obviously the only one who saw him. Because he was looking for him in the midst of the storm. And because he did, he broke through. Yeah, he still failed a little bit. But how many of you walk on the water? How many? I've never walked on water before. Right? That's amazing. That's an amazing feat. That amazing miracle. So, but we're entering into that season of amazing, exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think or imagine, miraculous realm. But it's up to us to ask Jesus, keep our eyes on Jesus, and do what he said, and only what he said. Amen. And you will be blessed. I guarantee you, you will be blessed when you do what he says. All right, Jeannie, anything else before I move on here?
No, no, I mean, I could go on about it all night, but no, I think I've said enough. Let some other people
okay.
talk tonight.
Well, we want to make sure we hear everything you have to say because you're in a breakthrough mode, and I think that's why people want you to pray for them. It's because when somebody gets
yeah.
in a breakthrough mode, you know, it's a beautiful thing, so don't hold back. But if you feel like that's it, then whatever, it's up to you.
No, I mean, I don't mind praying for anyone. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I'm still going to be on the program. I mean, I'll stay here and stay
okay.
on their show till it closes out, but absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, that's the same way
okay.
I felt about Terrence Tanisha. It was like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, kind of encouraging, wasn't it? Very, very encouraging.
Yes, it was.
In fact, if you guys haven't listened to that, what night did we do that? I think Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember which night it was last week.
I don't remember which night. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember which night. And then I know Tanisha talked about it some last night on her program.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Hey, we need to be declaring these breakthroughs because, y'all, listen, there's a breakthrough anointing. Look what happened with Jeannie. Jeannie's been going for this for 4 years, y'all. I mean, her own brother told her to get an attorney. That's why she got one. She wasn't wanting to do that. Her brother
right.
said, "You want to see this? You're gonna have to get your attorney." So I said, "Well, I have a right to my family stuff. So, you know, I mean, I don't know why I did that exactly, but that's why she did it. She wouldn't do it because she wanted to go after him. You know, she was, you know, but so whatever God's speaking you to do, you need to be bold to do it and step out there. And like, but if somebody challenges you, then if God gives you the right to take the challenge, take it." All right, Jeannie, you're going to stay on with me, and I may get you to pray for other people, too, so just hang on with me, and I'm going to mute you just for a moment. So
okay.
thank you for your service on PGN, and I'm going to mute you for that now. But, yeah, Jeannie also does shows. She started doing shows on the network a few months ago, and that's a service. That's giving. And believe me, it's work. It's fun work, but it's work. And so she started giving But I tell people all the time, please don't just sit there. If you got something you can give or get like she could give. She wanted to start praying for people. And so she asked me, can I do a show? I said, absolutely you can do a show. And we just love to open up the door for people to be able to give. She's given her prayer, given her life, giving in a different way. Look for all the different ways God would have you give. There's more ways to give than just with your money. I mean, you can give prayers. You can give, you know, all kinds of things. So, all right. Let's go here to 709-500. Who am I talking to, Ray Pumpley? I can't hear you if you're talking to me. You got me on mute, baby. Oh, you've been doing shows for a year now. That just shows you how up I am, right? Yeah, she's been doing shows for a year. Oh my gosh, I did not realize that. Oh wow, I think the election just did a number on me. I mean, there's 4 months right there that I just kind of like lost. I mean, it was a good loss. It was just like anyway. Okay, I guess 709 probably fall asleep. So my next caller is Nikki and Charles from Florida.
Hey, Randy. Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I can. Isn't that cool about Jeannie's
okay.
testimony?
I just love it. It made my heart melt. I was like, yes. I just love how the Lord works. I love how he guides us. how he gives us like hope, and then he leads us to this place or that place, and then we have to work our faith out, and it's just so wonderful. It's an obstacle, to be exact.
Yeah.
It's great at the end.
Yeah, that was a big situation because Jeannie can tell you better than I can, but let's get her on here. You know, I know that situation that her brother was not given any information to her willingly, right, Jeannie?
Exactly. Yeah, no, he wouldn't tell me anything and kind of denied stuff. And then, like I said, when I tried to talk to him and just tell him I would like to see the records, he immediately said, get you a lawyer, which, you know, my feeling on that was if someone has nothing to hide, then they don't mind you looking. But if they have something to hide, then they don't want you to see. So,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of went from there,
which
right.
is great. I love
yeah.
it. Because,
yeah.
I mean,
was,
I just, I'm sorry.
That was 4 years. That was 4 years, right? The whole thing was like 4 years.
Right.
Yeah, that was 4 years.
Terrence and Tanisha's case was 4 years.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, you caught the timing on this. The night that Tanisha shared about her situation, she said something about 4 years, and you texted me. You said, "Well, that's how long I've been doing my case." I go, "Really? That's amazing." Yeah, so there's this is a difficult situation that was going to take God intervening because her attorneys. Even when they did look, it was a big thing. It was a very difficult situation. So, anyway, Nikki, that's really something. You want to say anything about that? I want to pray for you, but anything you want to say about that or share? Or what's up?
Well, I mean, I look at this and you know, there's times that I've not the exact same story or nothing, but you know, I could go there. I'm like, okay, here's a teaching. You know, the Lord's showing me, you know, I'm faithful and don't lose hope. And, you know, it's just amazing how the enemy likes to give us doubt and give up and all that. But the beauty of all of this is that if you don't, and the scripture talks about this, if you don't give up and lose your faith, he's faithful. He's just faithful. We serve a faithful God. And he, you know, what I love about him the most is that he will give us the wisdom to be able to get wealth. I mean, it plainly says all this in the scriptures, but he's also faithful where the enemy's tried to rob from us. And he's a restorer. He restores. And the whole story is so beautiful. I was like, this is like, you need to write a book on this so people can see, you know, that there is, there's time frame, patience. Okay, we got to work out our patience, right? And then we got to walk out our faith. There's just so many different things that Jeannie had to do, but in the end, it was all worth it. It's going to be great now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What do you think the things God had you mainly do? You have I've already told her to write a book. I said, you know, you need to document all this stuff, which she said she has been, to get a book or a testimony or something. So, so what do you think the things are, Jeannie, that God was basically telling you to do as far as some simple things or whatever?
You know, one thing that God, and I do want to bring this up because this, you know, one thing that this was in my family, and one of the things the Lord had really stressed with me and is to keep my heart right through this, is that during all of this time, I mean, during this time, I've not been mad at my brother, frustrated sometime, yes, and was wanting him to do the right thing. But, I mean, during all this time, I've been praying for salvation and for deliverance and praying, speaking blessing over his family and for healing amongst the family, because not just with him, but even with some of the other family members and things like that, just where there's strife that has tried to come into the family line. So during all of this time, I've been, you know, praying over the family and for God to you know, I've been asking the Lord to say, Lord, none left. Nobody left. No one left out. That none lost, basically, that all would be saved and all delivered. So during this time, not only trying to listen to God, and when God has said, be still, to be still, and yet when God has said to move, and either, you know, like when I went into the first attorney's office and you know, and I had waited and had got information myself, had been to the courthouse and researched land deeds and various things on my own, had even contacted some of the oil companies on my own, because I could only get a minimal amount of information because I was not the executor of the will. You know, it's during times when you could get frustrated or you could get bitter or you could get mad, you know, that you have to really keep your heart right and continue to walk in love and understand that the enemy comes in, and whether it's generational or just that individual, that they're dealing with areas that they need healing. They're dealing with areas that they need deliverance. And not let it turn into a personal thing of I'm mad at you and I hope God will strike you in the head with a lightning bolt, you know, that kind of stuff. That we keep our hearts right and continue to speak blessing and continue to speak healing and deliverance and continue to look at God. Because I know even during this time, there was a couple, and I don't remember who, but there was a couple of different times I had received words of to be sure and let God work. Try to do things myself. And I only did what I could do, or what the attorneys, you know, asked me to do. But always just to be still until God said to move, you know. And then when the Lord, just like when the Lord said to settle, and I had not gotten all the information that I hoped I would get, to not let disappointment or anything like that come in. That okay, well, I thought we would get more information than that. But just when God said to settle, and I'll be honest, when the Lord said to settle, it brought a joy on the inside. I could feel a joy behind it. And then, of course, when I told you about it and you said, that feels good to me, which brought confirmation. So it's being still when God says be still. It's moving when he says to move. And in all of it, to keep our hearts right, you know, and just keep asking God to reveal to us if there's anything there that we need to move out of the way, which that word that Doug Addison, you know, that I sent you the photo of it, you know, where even he says it's not automatic, that to know if there's things in us that need to be cleansed or healed, that sort of thing.
Right. Move all the blocks out of the way that could be hindering it, make it easier to happen. All right, let's pray for you guys tonight, and then I got other people wanting to get in tonight a little bit. Thank you for trying to get in. We've got people trying to get in on this night, so thank you for that. All right, let's pray for Charles and Nikki. Anything you want to pray for specifically, Nikki, before I mute you here?
Actually, I do. My daughter's traveling to, it's like four or five other states from Florida, and she's traveling by herself, Stephanie, and she's going into a place where she's being restored to her dad, and it's been 8 years. And it's not because of her dad, but because of who he's married to. And so could just pray that this will be like a holy moment and a restoration and restoring, and that it would be a nice visit. She's going up there, and it'll be the first time the grandfather has met Lillian, and Lillian's 4 years old. And Stephanie has been weeping for 8 years. He didn't even walk her down the aisle when she got married, and he raised her. And so it really crushed Stephanie. And it had nothing to do with Stephanie and her dad. So if we could pray, it's his 60th birthday. And so the stepmother is like throwing this big party, and it's supposed to be a nice time, but they don't serve the Lord and all that. So if we could pray maybe some salvation and some peace and, you know, a good travel, you know, or traveling mercies and stuff, that'd be great.
All right. Let's do that. All right. So the situation has been more of a stepmother. Actually, call her stepmother more than the
yes,
mom.
It was her stepmom. Yeah. It had nothing to do with the dad. The dad and Stephanie were, they're great, but the stepmom got in there, so anyways.
So that happens. I mean, I've had situations where, you know, one of the step whatever decided, you know, you're not going to see, you know, whatever, whoever they were. I'm just mentioning, I don't want to give too much information away, but I've had that happen. You know, I've exposed things at times, you know, privately in some family, some of my family members' lives, and did it privately. And they just, they said, you're not going to see these people anymore, the kids. You're not going to see, you know, it's like they stopped it all because of that one thing. So I can really relate to that situation that, you know, it's amazing what the enemy can mess up. So let's pray about that. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki. Thank you for Stephanie. Well, we just thank you, God. I understand that situation where, you know, a stepmother or a step whatever can just totally disrupt things. And, God, I thank you for, just like I'm believing you for restoration in my situation, I'm believing for restoration in that situation. And I just stand in the gap for Stephanie, my God. And I thank you that stepmother will just, you know, realize how much it's going to bless her. And she didn't even realize that she's planting seeds that could come back to haunt her in her future. Planting seeds that could haunt her in her future. That precious stepmother that doesn't know Jesus. God, have mercy on her, God. Be merciful to her. She doesn't realize what she's doing. She is planting seeds for her own future that somehow somebody is going to say, well, you can't see, you know, whoever it is. And it'll be wounding and difficult and hard. God, I thank you for opening up her eyes and letting her see that she will want Stephanie to be a part. She will ask for you. She will get it right with you, Jesus, because most people just don't know what they're doing. They're blind. They're intimidated. They have jealousy, fear, all kinds of, you never know. And Jesus loves sinners. And God loves sinners because he knows why they are the way they are. They're not just like that because they want to be mean or want to be whatever. There's some kind of hurt, pain, like Nikki said, in this situation. And dear Jesus, we just thank you for the 60th birthday of this, that in Jesus' name, that I'm just glad that he could see his grandson because it wasn't his fault, right? I mean, I could tell you situations where that stuff goes on. And somebody will be vindictive, and they'll just stop everything, you know. Yeah. And I just thank you, Jesus, for that being dealt with in the name of Jesus. Help, restore, bless Stephanie and her daddy. God Almighty, we thank you, Lord, for restoring that and make it into a beautiful situation where everybody's loving everybody, everybody's giving to each other, everybody's getting right with each other. Just make it a beautiful, beautiful love fest. A beautiful, beautiful love fest. And God, just restore this with Steph, God, and bless in Jesus' name for the grandbaby's sake, and for the whole family's sake, for everybody's sake. For Jesus' sake, even in Jesus' name. Let it be done right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nikki. And Laura, I thank you for Nikki. I thank you for her love for you, Jesus. Thank you for opening up her life to you. That she's opened up her soul to you, and you're breaking seals. There's seals being broken, even now as I'm speaking, even in that regard of family, and hindrances that are being removed out of the way tonight, right now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go here to 202-722. I think this is Nicole from DC. I think, is that you, Nicole?
It's me. Yep.
All right. Good to have you tonight. All right, let's pray for you, and then we can talk for a little bit here. Let's thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Lord, I thank you for a December to remember. A December to remember. God, you know, why can't it be a April or something? You know, I don't want a December. Something. A December to remember. God, I thank you, Lord, for I'm going to mute that. It's like getting background. Thank you, Lord, for that December to remember, God, that maybe it's a remembering of a December from before. I don't even know what that means. I just get information and I give it. I don't always know what everything means. So everybody has to realize that when you call in, I may not have a clue what it means. I'm just getting information, just like I got the song. On my way to San Jose, what does that mean? All of a sudden I'm talking about earthquake. All of a sudden I'm talking about, I never know. So I thank you, Jesus, for December's to remembers. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening up that place in Nicole's heart, God, of remembrance, and opening up the remembrance in Jesus' name for hope. For some things we hope against hope. Some things, but sometimes the enemy comes and attacks us and tries to take our hope away on different things. And you're going to find out, Nicole, what a liar that the devil is, about how he lies to people, how he lies to you, to people, lies to them about things, to get them to miss their appointed time, to miss their appointment. And I see God really, just doing a grace thing, unmerited, undeserved favor, where, that people just, if they don't know how to obey God, God's going to be merciful to them and do some things for them. It's going to be amazing. You're going to see the grace of God moving in you and even in your family and people that you talk to, people that you know, people that you're with. You're going to see a grace movement, an unmerited, undeserved favor of God in timing and in those situations. So I thank you, Jesus, for opening up the timing realm. I see a seal being broken on timing, on how timing can be absorbed, that's what I would say, absorbed or caught, timing, caught, catch the timing. Sometimes if we don't catch the timing, we miss the opportunity. Like when Jesus said that to the to Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, your time of visitation. And I thank you, God, that you're going to see with other people you're hanging around, or you're with, or you're praying for, or you believe in God for, or just the family or what it is, but they're not going to miss their time of visitation. That's what the Lord's telling me. Amen. In Jesus' name, let that be done right now. I don't know what that means exactly, but hey, that's what I love about this, is I'm not responsible for anything. Well, I am. I'm just kidding about that, but I don't always understand everything. But I saw a seal being broken with timing. That was pretty cool. I don't even know what that means exactly, but the ability to catch time. In other words, when it's time for something, we catch it. We don't miss our visitation. We don't miss that moment,
Amen.
Yeah, cool. So how are you tonight? What's going on? What do you want to talk about?
You were talking about hope, and I was praying earlier for, like, God, give me hope. Help me to hope again. And that's exactly what you said as part of the prophetic word tonight. Amazing.
I'm sorry?
I said amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and I don't know what the December to remember will be for this year, but my husband, I met him in December of 2005, and both of us kind of got there in a strange way. But we were both so glad that we decided to go to this particular residency, because that's where we met, and we met on December 27th. And so that's always been a special date for me.
Oh, you know what? Because when I was given that word, a December to remember, I thought, well, why do we have to wait till December? Why can't you have an April to remember? And I realized that when I said that, I kind of butted into the words. Forgive me, Jesus. But, but I had a good motive. I was trying to make it be the April to remember, And then I realized, trying to butt into your word and mess with it, the Lord says, it's like I realized it may not have anything to do with the December to come, and it may have something to do with both Decembers. But I said that that it could have something to do with the December in the past. And so I have a feeling that it's something about that, and maybe even a December in the future, too, to remember. Like this December or something. I don't know exactly. But so you actually met your husband in December the 27th? That's amazing.
Yep. They had a residency that they scheduled December 26th through 30th. So the first day of the residency was, I think, a Monday. But it was the 26th, and then the second day was the 27th, and we met. We had signed up for the same session.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm thinking the 27th means something like Saturday, as far as the number goes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Saturday's Passover. It's not December the 27th, but it's what is the actual month, I wonder, in the Jewish calendar? What is actually, you know, like the Jewish calendar is different than the Gregory, what do you call it, the Gregorian calendar. I'll never get it all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the date on that is. It's probably not December, but that would be amazing if it was. But anyway, so the 27th, when you said the 27th, I'm thinking, we were just talking to Jeannie earlier about, you know, about Passover, which is the 27th, which is Saturday. What day was the 27th? What day it was? Was it a Friday, Saturday, during the week, or when was it?
I think it was a Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was a Tuesday.
That makes more sense. Being during the week for that situation. Interesting. Okay. I don't know. 27th. I don't know. December to remember. That's what I got. I wasn't even sure. And then I realized it didn't have to be a December to come so much as a December that has already been. And then when you're saying that, that just confirmed, because normally I think a December to remember is something in the future. But then, you know, like we said, we kind of changed it to a possibility of a December in the past. So maybe there's going to be a collision, a December to remember. Who knows? I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Well, I'm missing being in higher education. So I've been applying to jobs at different colleges and universities, hoping that I can transition back to one of those roles.
You mean to work?
In higher ed, like in the work that I'm in now, it's really fast paced. It's like it's high conflict and high stress. It's not good for me physically. It's like, it's really hard.
Oh, bless your heart. Yeah. Yeah. I can't even imagine. Yeah. Interesting. December to remember.
Yeah.
I keep getting on that, but believing for higher.
Yeah, I'm believing. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part you said.
No, go ahead. I was just saying. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and the other thing you said, you talked about even things with my family. So my mom and I, we talked about it a little bit, but we have had a lot of challenges in our relationship. And I've been praying for her a lot and praying about our relationship some, not as much as just praying for her in general. But I'm hopeful. I would like for our relationship to be good. It hasn't been for a really long time.
Okay.
And
okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I think
for
mentioned your family in the word, which I don't normally think I mention your family in a word. Have I? I don't remember.
No. Now you did have a word, I think, way back in 2014. It was 2014 or 15. I have it either written down or recorded or both. But you said that you talked about my husband and I doing a college for the millennium. And when you said the millennium, I thought, that is a long ways away. will we be alive? And then I was like, oh, but maybe what we're doing is going to be, like, so innovative that that's going to be, like, a blueprint for other colleges for the millennium. But after my husband had the first death last year, and I've been in that book of Revelation reading about the new heaven and the new earth and the millennial reign, I'm like, could he have been prophesying about the millennial reign? Like what we're going to do on the earth in the millennial reign?
Hey, you know, what's so amazing about you saying that, Nicole, is that this, I've been hearing stuff. I've never been a millennial reign person. I mean, I know it's going to happen sometime, but like you, like most people, I think it's going to be like, you know, way down the road. You know, I've never thought about the millennium reign being, you know, next month. Or 10 years from now. I've never thought about that. Never, ever. I've never really, I'm not a date person much. I don't have information on the millennium. I don't even know anything about the millennium other than what I've been learning from other people. I don't even know anything about it biblically. And it just so happens that Sunday, last night, there was this preacher on Daystar, and all of a sudden he just starts talking about the millennium. He's a very educated person, had a lot of knowledge. I really enjoyed him. He's a pre-tribber. I'm not a pre-tribber at all, but I listen to pre-tribbers all the time because a lot of them have a lot of great knowledge about faith. And I listened to him, enjoying him, and he talked a lot about the millennial reign and what's going to go on in the millennium. I'm going, there's going to be people that life is going to go on, you know, just like it is, except without Satan, you know, being there to hinder everything.
Right.
There's going to be people that have their human nature. They're going to be having children, you know, and he talked about all the different kinds of people that are going to be resurrected and some kind of people going to live through the tribulation, which is the word that I'm getting in the last year or last 6 months or 8 months. If it happens, then the millennium is right around the corner, which sounds crazy to me. But now all of a sudden, I'm starting to see the millennial as just a continuation of what we're doing now, except the devil's not going to be here.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, girl, this is, and then I don't remember giving you that word, but I know you record them, so you know, that is amazing. That's got me like going, I think God knows a lot more than I do. Prophetically. Yeah.
When you gave the word at the time, I was relatively new to PGN, and I was thinking about it, and I was excited because I always wanted to start a college or a university, and I have all these ideas about like how it'd be really helpful for students and how it would focus on preparing people for family, community, and work. And just on and on, but I never wanted to run the university. I just wanted to think things up and get things in place. But my husband, he's really excellent at leadership. So I was like, okay, but I need you to be the first president of it. And he'd be like, okay. And so hadn't talked much about, I don't think we had talked, I don't know if we had talked all, at all really about that. So when you said the for the millennium, it's like, okay, we're adults. The millennium's like 85 years, like, you know.
I know, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I did a word a couple of nights ago about to Terrence. I think I was talking to Terrence on the show and prophesying. I'm not prophesying. I'm not just talking. I'm prophesying, right? And I had this word about 10 years. I said, well, Terrence, maybe after I heard the word come out of my mouth, kind of surprising, I went, well, maybe in 10 years we're going to be in the millennium. I mean, that's kind of what it sounded like. And I go, oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Now, listen to this, Nicole. I want to say before I forget, because you're talking about university. Back in the late 80s, in the early 90s, I had all my bylaws changed, my bylaws to my corporation, to the Randy Chandler Ministries Incorporated. I've been incorporated since 1986, 501c3 since 1986. At first I just got to be an evangelist, blah, blah, blah. And then I started doing this thing where, you know, I'm going to build a university. God is my witness. I'm going to build a university, so I'm going to have a TV, television, all this stuff. This was back in the 80s. And so I went and had all my bylaws changed, which I just got a portion of them back just the last few days. In fact, today. Today's Monday. And so, but I wanted to, back then, do kind of what Oral Roberts did, build a university for God's people for, you know, and had the land picked out. Yeah, I never really got into it, or we never did the money thing at all, ever. I mean, I never did any of that stuff. But, yeah, but that's been a dream that I've had. In fact, today, Sunday, I was talking to somebody, I remember what, and I said, you know, I changed my bylaws, and I said the same thing I told you. I changed my bylaws back then in the 90s, I think it was the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. I don't know where I actually changed them. So that I could do television and do a university, build a university.
Randy, that is awesome. It's desperately needed. It's desperately needed. I mean, higher education is so, it's not only extremely left, but the atheism in the ranks of among many faculty members are atheists. Or worse. And
wow.
The reason that matters so much is that, I mean, people go to college at all ages today, but in particular for those students who are between the ages of 18 and 24, they're really at a stage of life where they can be heavily influenced. And to just have them have one professor after another, generally you have 40 classes that you take with 40 unique classes to get a bachelor's degree. So imagine if a student is under the mentorship, 38 individuals who do not believe that the Bible is factual. And they spend 4 or 5 years under this mentorship, that is negative. That is impactful in a wrong way. And so we need colleges and universities where people can learn in a context with an overarching framework that is Bible-based. So whether you're studying business or mathematics, it's still important to be in the context of a Bible-based curriculum from my perspective. And so I'm excited to hear what you're saying. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I've never talked about that before because – you know, that was back in the late 80s when I was dreaming and, you know, was in the process of already building a TV station back then. And so that's always been a dream of my heart. But it's like now's the time, and I can't believe I talked about the university because I really don't have university on my mind at this point. I'm just trying to believe God, you know, come together, get in a studio, you know.
Yeah, but, I'm one of the 300. Amen. I'm with you.
For that, yes. And so, you know, I've never even talked about that. Well, it's the first time I've ever mentioned it. I've never even – most people who know me now don't even know anything that about me, but that was my dream with university, television, ordained with people, you know, have Bible school, not just Bible school, but college for everybody, and do like Oral Roberts has done. You know, it's a dream that I had. I left Oral Roberts many years ago. I still love Oral Roberts, but – so that was my dream, and I dreamed it big, and I had building, you know, what the buildings were going to look like and everything. I mean, I was working on all that. So some people are going to be shocked and going, you? Yeah, believe it or not. It's really
amen.
True.
I'm
here that just yesterday I was discussing that with someone, and then today I actually got some of my incorporation papers you know, copied off and that kind of thing, and kind of reading through them. So it's interesting that you're bringing this up, and that it just happened to happen today. So There's something going on there. But anyway, very, very cool. Wow. I'm blown away. This is really wow.
Praise God.
Yeah. Okay. Now that my mind is blown again, like, what am I going to do now? I don't know. But we have,
Randy, could I ask you to pray about something before you go to the next caller? I am. Could you pray for my physical safety as I am moving about in my home and to and from work and just out and about?
For your physical what?
My physical safety.
Oh, safety. Yeah, sure. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Hang on a second. Yes, well, we pray tonight for Nicole. God, we thank you for, in your divine purpose, you have a insurance policy. I think you call it a spiritual insurance policy. But we need more than, insurance is not just having something to go wrong and then you have to fix it, but it's also a protection. And Lord, I thank you for your protection upon Nicole, God, and her physical safety as she goes about what she's doing and what's going on and all that. We just thank you, Lord, for resurrection power, God, and for, because resurrection power, it's when you walk in resurrection power, you know, you walk through buildings, you walk through walls, I should say. It's a whole different realm of resurrection. So I thank you, Lord, for that resurrection protection. I don't even know what I just said, but I said it. Resurrection protection in Jesus' name over her life. And keep her, Lord, let your compassion rise up within her in Jesus' name to have compassion for others as that grows up within her, God, to use that gift and that blessing in her life to have compassion on others in Jesus' name, and to pray for protection for others. And, amen. Anyway. All right.
All right.
I have never talked about the university thing since I've been on Blog Talk PGN, and I've been on here for a while, since 2009, 2010. I've never talked about that. So I
would have been listening so hard to that.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
That makes sense. And what you're saying is so true. There's so many demonic things going on in our universities where our young people are being trained that, wow. I mean, I hadn't even really put that together for me to be a part of that maybe. I don't know. But anyway, wow. Awesome. Yeah, that's a dream I had. I had the land picked out. I went out and built an altar on the land. It was, the building. I even had the buildings the way I wanted, the style that I wanted, and the whole thing for the university. And God says, no, that's for later, I guess. Wow. That just got awakened to me tonight through you tonight, so that's really Hey, Jeannie, you got anything you want to say over Nicole tonight? I still got Jeannie with me.
No, I mean, the Lord hasn't really given me anything else.
Okay. All right. I had her on there with me. So, all right, Nicole, God bless you in that resurrection protection. I don't even know what that is, resurrection protection. Don't even ask me what that is because I don't have a clue.
I receive it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. That sounds pretty good, even though I don't have to know what it is. I've never said it in my life, but I know I'm resurrection protection. There you go. Okay, Nicole, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, let's go down here to 525-530. I think this is my friend from Mexico.
Yes, Randy. Hello.
Hey, Maria. What do you like me to call you, Christina or Maria? I never got that quite straight.
Well, sometimes you call me Maria, and sometimes you call me Christina. That depends.
Oh, which one do you like?
I like Maria because that's how God calls me, you know. I write
okay.
Maria.
There you go. That's what we're going to do then. Okay, Maria, let's try to remember that. All right, Maria, let's pray for you, and let's meet you here for a second. Thank you, Jesus, for Maria from Mexico. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for the finder, for the finder, for the finder, for the finder, for the ability to find things, the finder. The finder, maybe there's an angel who helps find things. There's an angel who finds things. Yeah, there's an angel who finds things. So we thank you, Jesus, for the finder, the one that to find things. Like we lose something, we've got an angel to help us find it. When we're looking for property and land, you know, people are looking for the finder to find it. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but thank you, Jesus, for that finder to find what's needed, whether it's finding information about Jesus, revelation, the finder to find, I don't even know. But I thank you, Jesus, for that finding angel to help her find whatever she needs, God, whatever that be, spiritual things, biblical things, natural things, physical things, people. You know, when we got an angel who finds things for us, we can't lose with that. So, wow, I'm getting all these information tonight. It's kind of like throwing me off a little bit as far as knowing what that means. But I never thought about that before, finding angels. So there's something about a finding angel. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that for Maria. Maria. And we thank you, Jesus, for that finding. You know, the Bible says, seek and you shall find. A lot of people seek, 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 and they don't find. They don't find their breakthrough. They don't find what they need. They're not finding. When we find some things, we don't find other things. But I thank you, Lord, that she's going to find everything she needs with the finder, the angel that finds. Man, we'll talk about that for a minute. I don't have a clue what that means exactly, but never heard that before. Kind of different. The angel that finds, the finder. It's kind of like having somebody finding things. You know, where's that miracle for that person? Okay, angel, go find that miracle for that person. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it could be, it's like, I don't know, I know angels find things for us, Maria, but I don't know. I don't understand that one. Anyway, but, so what's going on? Let's try to get past that.
Me neither. You know, I don't know exactly, but kind of in an awe, you know, for that word. And so that's interesting. Last time that I talked to you, you told me about an address, God giving me an address. And this time you said that finding a land or property. So I don't know if it's related or no.
I said finding something. What did I say last time you said? What was that word?
Last time you said that God was giving me an address. And it was related to a physical address and a new house or something like that. And right now, you said something about finding land or property.
Oh, my gosh. No, you know what? God is my witness. I don't remember saying that. That is amazing. Yeah. So there's interesting. But see, I've never seen before is a finder to find. It's like there's a finder to find. So when you start thinking about that, you know, it can be helping us find anything. You know, I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm not afraid to give words I don't understand. I used to only give words I can understand. I quit doing that. God wants to say something, I'm still able to say it. And sometimes it does. It's layer upon layer. Words become layered. You know, like. Yeah.
Like you're revealing one part and then another part, right?
Yes. Yeah, so get ready. Okay, Jeannie's sending me this picture, Matthew 7:7 says, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, she says, and you will find, knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. That's the scripture she sent me, Matthew 7:7 So, I don't know.
the finding thing. I mean, I'm glad you didn't say it. The Lord didn't say a seeking angel. What good does it have to do with seeking? We don't need a seeking angel. We need an angel that can find, right? I mean, what is it good? What good does it do to seek after something if you never find it? So it's a finding angel. Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't know they were finding angels. When you put it together, it makes sense. You know, that's what angels do. They find things, or they know where they are, or something.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I'm kind of in awe or expectancy to see what it's about.
Right. Well, look what happened to Jeannie. Jeannie's been working on this. She's on the line. She's been, for 4 years, been working on this thing with an inheritance situation. And they were looking for land. And for 8 years, they've been looking for land even longer than that. And couldn't do anything because they knew that they didn't have, you know, that inheritance or, you know. So, interesting that just happened, and you're calling in tonight when we're talking about that testimony. So I think that's really cool. I think that's a sign of some kind.
Yes. Well, for me, it's like, you know, there's like a layer, like you were saying, because you said last time about this address. And then now it's finding the land or the property. So it's kind of like the scripture. I mean, I need to seek what it means so I can find what he wants to do or to give to me.
You're right. You're going to have supernatural. Here's the thing that I got from this whole thing tonight is that God is saying to you, that I'm releasing or have released a finder for you.
Okay.
In other words, let's say you have a real estate person like Jeannie, you know, and Hollis are looking for a property, and they say, well, we want something that has, you know, barns and something for horses, and you know, I mean, you know, you know if you kind of tell them what you want, and they go out and look just for that. Because they're the ones who know all the property and have all the access to all the property. Well, you know, what's there, what's not there, where to look. And then the finder goes and finds it and gives you, you know, hey, we found something we think fits exactly what you want. And so God's saying it's more than just you seeking it. It is seeking it, of course, but in order to find, you have to seek. But the finder is going to help you find it for us. So, in other words, there's something supernatural intervention going on here.
Amen.
And once you get your expectation up, instead of renting, I think that's what it is. The whole thing about Canaan land that we've been talking about for the last year or so is about your own property, your own land, your own home.
Yes, amen. Well, you have been telling me about the great things are coming.
Do what?
That he has been telling me that great things are coming to his children.
Cool.
That we should be expecting for great things.
Yeah. I think we need to raise our expectation level. And, like, you could have a house in Mexico, in land in Mexico. You could have a house in Las Vegas. I mean, you know, I tell you, something happened with me on November the 7th, after I had all this stuff about Biden, even though I voted for Trump, wanted Trump. Something happened on the night that they said he won, on November the 11th. Something happened to me. I mean, it's like God had been speaking to me about Joe Biden for years. I don't even believe what he believes, and yet God speaks to you about something. It doesn't matter whether you believe anything or not. If God's speaking, it means he's going to do something, right? And so when that happened and he actually became president, from that time on, I told everybody, I said, Trump is out. I mean, he's not going to win any of his lawsuits or nothing. Of course, he didn't. And it's not what I wanted. That's not what I wanted, you know. But ever since then, something rose up within me, Christina. A new level of authority rose up within me that very morning when I turned the TV on. And Joe Biden has won, you know, three networks that said, you know, not everybody agreed with it, but for me, because the numbers God gave me, 11/34, twice supernaturally, that's what that was. 11/3 was the election day, and then 4 days later was when they actually announced it, you know. And so that happened to me about a month before all that happened. You know, God gave me those numbers about 3 weeks or maybe a month before that happened. And from that day on, something changed in me, the level of authority. When I prophesy, when I get words and information, something has changed. So I'm telling you tonight to get ready, because something has shifted in the prophetic realm with me personally. I think it has something to do with other things too. But so that's why I'm telling you, girl, get your expectation level up. I'm sure you already have, but it's great.
Amen. Yes. I mean, he told me this morning to be alert in his guidance this week for great things to coming. So now I have this word.
Yeah. And at a whole other level of authority, too. That's my point I'm trying to bring. So you will, some people that when we've been prophesying for a long time to a lot of different people, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, I guess. I've prophesied to thousands over the years. And so sometimes people just go, yeah, there's another prophetic word, another prophetic word, another prophetic word. And so what I'm trying to say tonight is that since November the 7th, when that happened, something turned inside of me to another level of authority. It has to do with the awe and the fear of God. Like there's something new in my spirit, a boldness that I've never had before. You know, I don't know what to do with it, all of it, but it's kind of scary and wonderful at the same time. Like I'm afraid what's going to come out of my mouth. Like, oh, my God, what did I just say? Oh, my God, Trump's not going to win any of these. You know, and I wanted Trump to win. I wanted Trump to win. And when Trump will not win any of his, you know, and everybody's going like, he's going to win, he's always won. And the Lord says, he's not going to win any of them, Randy. Tell everybody he's not going to win anything. Oh, my God, dear Jesus, help me. And at that moment, I realized that I had stepped into something that was beyond human reasoning, you know, and it was very prophetic and very awe-striking and fear and wonder. Fear and wonder realm. I moved in. Oh my God! I just realized. I just said it out of my own mouth, to the fear and wonder realm, or the sign and wonder realm, at a whole other level.
Amen.
Wow. Oh my God! I just heard myself say that. Y'all, you got to learn to listen to the words that come out of your mouth, because. Oh my gosh. I mean, I just heard that just now, Christina, for the first time. The fear and wonder realm. Because I couldn't identify with what was coming out of me, what rose up within me. It scared me what happened on the 7th when I heard that, because I knew I had the numbers. I said, I even told people, I said, on the 3rd, I said, well, we don't know who's won the election, but if 11/34 means anything, then 4 days from now, which was on the 7th on a Saturday, then something, it'll tell us something. I didn't know it was going to be that. I didn't have a clue. You know, and then when it happened that day, because I had an expectation, and I couldn't even talk about it publicly, but I had an expectation that Biden was going to win it, you know, against my own voting thing, you know. And when it happened that day, that's when something shifted in me and said, Randy, you know, like you're in a whole different season, and it's the fear and wonder realm. I just got the exact wording. The fear, you know, fear and awe, not fear like bad fear, but the fear and awe and wonder realm,
mm-hmm.
which is signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
So get ready, girl, for a sign and a wonder.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the finding
I'm happy.
Yes. I'm sorry I'm talking so much. I can't stop. But I've never heard this before, so I listen to the words that come out of my mouth. I'm going, like, okay, wow. The fear and wonder realm, and this thing about the finding. I said, the finder is going to find for you. I'm going, I'm asking. When I get words, I ask the Lord immediately, what does that mean? I don't say it out loud. Since I said the finder, I'm going, what is that? I said, God, what does that mean, finder? And he says, the angel, Randy, you know, the angel that finds things. I went, oh, okay, well, you could just say the finding angel. And he said, Jeff, just go ahead and say it. Find an angel. That's what I said, you know. And it's just so cool. Wow. My God, Lord,
yeah.
I loosened the finding angel for her and that property and that land and that thing that you want her to do. And find not only that, but find new faith that you put within her. Find new things within her. Let her find new things within her, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, I'm excited. That's awesome, Randy.
Well, I'm getting more excited all the time because there's so many things happening right now. Something has shifted. Like with Jeannie just getting her blessing. I mean, to me, that's just showing me that God's doing some. Because we've been praying for that, as well as a lot of people, a lot of her friends, as well as us here at PGN, have prayed for that for 4 years. 4 years straight in May, I think she said, it'd be 4 years. You know, and to have that breakthrough happen in before our eyes, and then God give me that thing, you know, a couple of days before it happened, get ready, 333, 333. The number went. She says, what does 333 mean? You know, do you think it means in our situation? I said, well, it has to do with your court situation or your situation with your inheritance, that it's about to be, and this is all documented, that you're about to see a complete completion of what's, things are going to be completely complete. That's the word I put on it. I said, Jeannie, they're going to be completely complete, and they were 3 days later or 2 days later, whatever it was. Well, today. I think today it was completed. And that was on Thursday. So let's see, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, my gosh, Jeannie. I think 3 days. Jeannie, are you still there? I'm wondering
if
I don't remember exactly what. This is for you, Maria. I'm going here with this because, you know, I just thought about this. You just found that out today, right? Like this
uh-huh.
morning or something? Was it this morning?
Yeah,
what
time was it? Midday. I would have to look back on my phone, but it was after lunch.
Okay, so it's after lunch. So when I gave that word to you, when I gave the 333 and had the sent you the picture that was the only thing that was in my mailbox that day, and it was at the advertisement with the jewels, and I said, this is for you, and you said, what do you think that means? As you confirmed that already, and because it's on our text. And I said, well, 333, that means it's going to be completely completed. That was on, what was that, on Thursday or Friday? Do you have it on
it was on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Thursday,
I have it on my text message. It was on Thursday.
Okay. Okay, so it wasn't exactly 3 days, but pretty close.
Yep. It looks like my lawyer called me at 2:49 this afternoon.
Okay. 2:49. That's almost 3 o'clock.
Almost.
Not quite. So, interesting. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then Monday after 3 days. We're going to work it in there soon, I know. Interesting. That's interesting. So there's, because that was the thing about the threes was completely completed 333. Okay, interesting. I try to, when I get a possible something, I like to dig and make sure. Awesome. Okay, Marie, sorry, I'm excited right now. I'm just like, I want to see people get their breakthroughs, so amen.
And you know about the numbers, Randy, every day I see 333, 333 every day. And 11-11,
really?
11-11, 11-11, every day.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, there you go.
And I got, I got my ID for my church, you know. My ID number is 1111, and I said, my God. this is not, this is nothing. No. And that's my ID number for my church to register online. 1111. I said, no, this cannot be.
Wow. 11-11.
Uh-huh.
That's
so I don't know
number.
What's going on. And now you're saying about the 333 with Tini. And it's for me, it's confirmation because that's a number that the Lord is showing me every day.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really cool. Very, very cool. Gene, you got anything you want to say about that? Just jump in there. Wow. Thank God. Thank God. Some people listen for the first time going, what is all this stuff about the number thing? Well, you know, I mean, I haven't been a big, I've always known about numbers, but I've never been, I've seen numbers work like since 1134, God gave me 1134 in October of this, of last year, right, about a couple of weeks before the election, gave me 1134 twice, supernaturally, kind of like your numbers for your church thing. You know, I didn't choose those numbers. Somebody else chose those numbers. They were basically chosen for me in a sense. You know, I had nothing to do with that. I'd written a check that was 1134, so I had to cancel it, so I knew the number 1134, and then I'd go to the, you know, I wrote that check like, you know, 2 weeks before that, something like that. And didn't even know, didn't pay attention. You don't pay attention to what number the check is. When you send a check, I send checks at all, you know, and I didn't pay attention to it. You know, and then I go to the U-Haul, and he chooses a storage place for me to put the stuff for the studio in there. You know, he chose that. He says, what size do you have? This size? Well, we got three or four of those. And I said, okay, yeah, that'd be fine. And he picked one for me. And 1134 I went. And that other number just came up that day because I just had to cancel that check because my rent thing, I didn't have to pay it now because they rented it out to somebody else. So I canceled the check. It was 1134. And then he chose that storage unit for me, and it was 1134. I documented every bit of this. I documented everything. And when that happened on 1134, and Biden became the president on 1134, at least, you know, according to the three networks, major networks, then something, that's what that day when something happened inside me. I mean, it just rose up. It scared me. It was a fear and a reverence for all of God. Saying, and I didn't realize I had moved to a whole different place. So, anyway, all that, there you go. But so there's something happening with it.
Amen. Yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited. But I called you to ask for your, if you could please pray for my children.
Okay. Yeah, for Stephanie and don't tell me his name.
Bruno.
Huh?
Bruno.
Bruno, yeah, Bruno. Because I have a friend from Africa named Bruno. Yeah, Bruno. That's how I always remember him, Bruno. But it takes me a minute to think his name. So thank you. thank you, Jesus, for Stephanie and Bruno. Well, we just thank you for their lives. God, we thank you for their hearts. God, we thank you that you're doing something. God's doing something in their heart. They're actually, there's something going on in their heart because what I see is that instead of trying to figure out things with their brain, you know, which we all do, I see them both of them, trying to figure out things with their heart. And when it goes to from your mind to your heart, trying to figure out life, then something else happens, something different happens, something amazing happens. And so I thank you, Jesus, for the heart work that you're doing. That they both have hearts after you, God. We declare and decree they have hearts after you, God. And that Bruno and Stephanie, God, are opening up to that supernatural place which starts in the heart. But the Bible says faith comes from the heart. It's what the heart man believes. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to go from believing in their heads about things for God and to their heart in a way they never have in their life. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You're going to open up fresh, new faith, childlike faith that's been in them since they were children, the childlike faith of Jesus inside them. I see them like in a hearing something about the Bible or something, and as children, both of them as children, and faith rising up within them, and God quickening faith to them. And somehow, you know, over the years, things kind of get, you know, misplaced and whatever. And I see God restoring that, renewing that, reinvigorating that. In the name of Jesus, let it be done, God. Hallelujah. Let it be done now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much,
amen.
Randy.
All right. Thank you, Maria.
I'm going to get it right, Maria. All right, Maria, thank you so much, dear. We appreciate you so much. And we're believing God with you for that finding angel. Hey, if you see what he looks like, try to get a picture of him. Send it my way. Okay?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Maria. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, very, very. All right, so let's go here to 623-282. Can I talk to you here, friend, please?
It's me, Carmen.
Hey, Carmen. All right.
God bless you, Prophet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that blessing. Let's pray for you. I'm going to meet you for a second. Let's pray for you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your promises, God, for the promised season. The promised season. God, I thank you that as I see it being prepared and ready, kind of like the 10 virgins, yet they were ready, that the 10 wives, the 5 wives were ready and had their oil ready. And the Lord's saying, you know, be prepared, make sure you're prepared. So when it comes time to make that move, to get up and go toward the Lord, toward that moment, like be watching, be looking. I know you're always watching, look, I'm sure, but it's like this special moment of hearing the voice of the Lord saying, you know, the bridegroom has arrived. Rise up and trim your lamps and make sure you have oil in your lamp and be looking and all that kind of thing. As I know you are, but just, Lord, just like reminding you, you know, that to be looking, like when we talked together a few nights ago about Jeannie and to others about, you know, make sure you're looking, like Elijah told the servant to go look for the cloud, you know, and he kept looking and looking. No, nothing yet. Well, look again. Look, nothing yet. Look again. Nothing yet. Look again. And he had him looking. He had him looking, and because he was looking, you know, therefore the cloud the size of a man's hand appeared. It wasn't much. It was a little bit. And it rose up, and then pretty soon it was raining, and it was pouring, and Israel went from a drought for 3 years, for 3.5, whatever it was, to now they were being, you know, restored. So I see God really awakening your looker, your like the 5 wise virgins, which were, they were, you know, they trimmed their lamps, and they were ready, they had their oil. And also, you know, some of the 5 foolish virgins says, give us some of your oil, and they had to say no. Sometimes God has to put a no inside of us. No, I'm sorry. You know, it sounds cool, but it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the wisdom that they had. And the wisdom they had said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go get your own oil. And so, and then those people, of course, we know missed out. And so there's something about the wisdom of all that. Anyway, I'm not sure what's going on with that, but hallelujah. All right, let's go here. All right, what's going on, Carmen? How are you?
Oh, I didn't think of it that way, but it that makes sense. That makes sense. I've had some jobs, and lately I've been saying no to people. The Lord has had me firmly say no to people from work and family. And I don't feel guilty because it's like wasting your time.
Right.
And I mean, in all and everything in my life, I've been saying no, enough. That's not what I'm going to do. And people trying to use me. And normally I would go and help, but I've had to say no, but I've had a peace about it. And I'm like, Lord, why am I saying no to everybody? I'm like, am I wrong? But I have peace about it, but what is this all about? So
yeah.
He's and even breaking relationship. A gentleman that I was with, and I finally said no, I felt the Lord say, cut it off. And I did. And I'm like, Lord, I'm doing what's next?
What's next? Hey,
I mean, it hasn't.
Carmen, hang on a second. That's awesome. Now listen to this, what I'm getting, because, listen to this, because they're draining your oil, or they want to drain your oil. They don't realize they're doing it. I just got that. Your strength, your, whoa. Wow.
Yeah, and And I felt like, yeah, that all these people were draining me, and even including my parents, they wanted me to go right back to Puerto Rico. And I was going to go, and I was making preparations to go because I felt, well, you have to honor your parents. And then I just didn't have peace. I said, and I told my sister, no, I'm not going. Because she had created a list for me of the things that she said that they wanted, but it was her that she was doing it. And I just felt really weird about it. And I said, no, I'm not going, but you're going to do that list. You're going.
Oh,
so
my
what
God.
They meant for me to be evil for me, to drain me and waste me and put me in debt again, because I sacrificed last time. You remember that I had gone over there?
Yeah.
I sacrificed last time, and it was a hard time for me to find a job. And, you know, financially, I took a blow just to help my parents. But they are wasting my time because they don't decide. They want to, I mean, not that, you know, you don't help your parents, but I feel that the Lord is leading me not to help, because their decisions, their wrong decisions are their own consequences that they have to reap. And so why do I have to reap something, you know, okay, my father was sick, but now, no. They're just, you know, wanting to drain my energies. Exactly. That's exactly what, and I didn't see it that way, but you're right. The Lord is right. They were trying to drain my energies. And I was doing care provider, right, and I was helping a lot of the elderly. And again, they wanted to drain my energies. They weren't allowing me to do, and at the end, they wanted me. They wanted me to stay because I did a good job for them, but I refused. I said, no, if you continue doing this, then I'm leaving. And it happened over and over again. And I worked at a restaurant, and there was a lot of disorder, and they loved the way that I worked. And I put my 2 weeks notice, and please reconsider in the 2 weeks. And when the 2 weeks came, what have you decided? I said, I'm leaving. So you're leaving us? Yes, I'm going. I'm not staying. No, again. And it's been like, no. No, even in my, you know, romantic life, no. I said, you know, I felt the Lord saying, no, this is not the one for you. I've taken a lot of blows, and I've been, you know, almost like a doormat. And I learned that from my marriage, when I was married.
Oops, we lost you. Okay, give me just a second here. I'm waiting for her to get back on. I don't know what happened exactly. Your call dropped. I don't know if she can be able to call back or not. All right, I'm waiting for her to call back. She may not even know she's hung up, or that she hung up or dropped. Okay. All right. Sent her a text, so we're waiting for her to let me know. All right, let's go to another caller, I guess. She's not calling back yet. Hopefully she realizes she dropped off. So excuse me just a second here. Hang on just a second.
Okay, I'm going to try to call that number. Give me a second here. All right, let me go here.
Hello?
Okay,
hello?
We got you back.
Okay. So, like I was saying, it basically the Lord has, and I know, I felt it in my spirit that it wasn't, that I wasn't doing anything wrong, that it was of the Lord to say no. But it was like everywhere I went, no, no, no.
Wow.
And it's like I've been, you know, staying within in the house and not spending time anywhere, you know, with anyone. And, I mean, I felt really bad for this gentleman. He was really nice to me. But I think I took a beating in a lot of the relationships, and people automatically assume that because I'm a believer and I love God that they can walk all over me. And God was not allowing that. He wasn't allowing that. I took a beating. And it's funny because I can't remember who was on talking about their family and how the brother didn't want to let her know what was involved, I guess, you know, in some money matter. Well, the same thing is happening to me with my family. It's like they want to, you know, they got all a lot of money, and I'm the only one that doesn't have a lot of money and has been having a lot of issues with, you know, getting a good job and everything. And it seems like they want favoritism with my parents and, you know, I'm pushing me aside and trying to belittle me and walk all over me. And it's funny the way that God turned it around, that, you know, he says, no, they're what they wanted for you, they're going to take now. They're going to get,
okay,
they're going to face.
Yeah. Think about this too, you know, the, because God is calling that because the word of the Lord, you know, about the five wise virgins saying no. It looked incompassionate. It looked like a lot of things, but what I see happening here, because you're saying no, you know what it's going to do? It's going to create some respect that if that that's maybe hasn't been there in a while or whatever. I don't know, but it's going to, there's going to, and that may be the very thing that causes them to, you know, change their mind. You know, maybe even help you financially. I don't know exactly. Not that that's what you're looking for, but. But, you know, if saying
well,
no.
Well, no, because even in that, they've offered to help me, and I had borrowed some money just to be over there with my parents, and I paid everybody back, not being able to, because I felt like I wasn't supposed to take anything from them because then they were going to use that against me, and I was right. So they got even more mad because I didn't take it. So there's a time that you have to have your hand open, you know, because God uses anybody. But there, you have to be wise, because sometimes it's not of the Lord for you to take from everybody.
Sure, but there's also a turn. I feel like there's a turning of the table. That's what I'm going to say. Is that there's a turning of the table. I don't know how exactly it's going to turn, but something about that, and you're saying no, was the breakthrough for the wise virgins. You know, it was the, because they were, you know, if they would have shared their oil with the foolish ones, like the wise virgin said, they said, the reason we're not going to give you any is not because we're being selfish, it's because we might not have enough for ourselves. In other words,
exactly.
You're trying to stop everybody from going in. You know, and
mm-hmm.
you know, the five foolish, if they would have, if the five wise would have shared their oil, it would have stopped the five. All of them would have not made it. You know what I'm saying? Because that was the concern, is we don't know if we're going to have enough for us and you too. So go buy your own. And they
mm-hmm.
missed out. Five wise entered in and broke through. So there's going to be some kind of a breakthrough. You know, Christ is going to the bridegroom is going to show up somehow or another and bring you a breakthrough. In that you'll see it happen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, because I am being obedient. I am listening to what he's telling me.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, that's what's happening. And the fact that he likened that and the fact that he's been going through that thing about saying no, Leslie, that's just confirmation, you know, for you and for me, because I'm the one giving the word. I always want to know, okay, what does this word mean? And then now you're kind of telling me what it means. I wouldn't have known that had you not told me, but that's the word of the Lord. So it's not just the fact that you're saying no, it's the purpose for saying no and the breakthrough of saying no. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's like there's something that's because you're obeying the Lord in that is breaking you through. It's not about me or your parents or anybody else. It's about you breaking through into that place.
Mm-hmm.
You have a husband. You know, what was this about? This is about the husbandman, or the, not the husband, but the bridegroom, right? Yeah, the five.
Mm-hmm.
I get so much information. I have to make sure I'm saying that correctly. Yeah, it was about the bridegroom. The bridegroom had arrived. So there's something about the bridegroom and the provision of the bridegroom and the bridegroom itself. So there's something about that. You say no. It's not just a breakthrough for them. It's a breakthrough for you because five virgins entered in after they said no.
Mhm. Yeah, it makes sense. It does make sense. I didn't see it that way. I was like, going through, I knew in my spirit that I was okay, that I was obeying the Lord, but I didn't know, I didn't understand what the purpose of it all was. But now that you're saying this, it does make sense, a lot of sense.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm just
a
messenger boy. I don't know anything. I give words, and then I hear people talking and go, well, there's a connection right there. And then I see where the connection is going. Yeah, so that's... And I'm thinking it might be your parents that do that. But it may or may not be. Either way, it's not going to be bondage. It'll be blessing.
Yeah, well, I felt in my spirit that whether others do what they're supposed to do, I'm not responsible. I can only guide them and show them the way, but they have to, you know, be proactive and want to follow. But, I have to be careful with my walk. You know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It doesn't profit you anything. You have to be careful for your own walk with the Lord.
Just think about that and what you just said just now.
Mhm. It doesn't profit you to.
Yeah. What? Repeat to me the words you just said about that. About you have to watch over yourself. What was that you just said? How'd you say that?
What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so we're in a time now that is we're getting close to the coming of the Lord, and our walk is important.
What did you say before that? Why were you saying that? You said something before that, like you have to watch out for your own walk or something like that. What were you saying? Say it again, please. You can't. You may not be able to.
What
like me.
Profit? Okay. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his
Before
own
that.
Soul?
Before yeah, I thought
that.
About what you said. Yeah, you went. You were going. You were. You went to that scripture after you said you have to watch out for your own soul or something like that.
Walk with the
anyway.
Lord. Your walk with the Lord.
Yeah, okay. So, however you said it was. I'm sorry, I didn't
the,
catch you.
The world will pull you. People will pull you away, and the enemy strategically will use those that are not walking right with God. He'll use them because they're in the flesh, and when they're in the flesh, the enemy has access to them. But when
so
you're
you
walking with God in the spirit, the spirit
of
God leads you.
I don't want to lose this. Yeah, I got you. I don't want to lose this. I want to give it before I maybe steal it from you. But you said something like that. You said, "Well, we have to watch out for our own soul and make sure that we're doing, you know, right. Watch out for our own soul." Well, that sounds selfish, unless you look at it in the light of what the Lord's saying tonight with the five wise virgins. What were they doing? They were watching out for themselves, right? They were saying, "Hey, we can't share our oil with you because if we do, we won't enter in either." And that's the whole thing. That's the whole, hang on a second. That's the whole theme of what the word of the Lord. I'm trying to make sure I get this to you clear. Where I don't, where there's no misunderstanding. Where I get it to you clear, Isabel, as I can, is that that's the whole theme of your word tonight. It's about you have to watch out for yourself sometimes against gossip. But it looks like, oh, how can you watch out for yourself? You're supposed to watch out for others and for Jesus. Well, not when it comes to your own personal letting people, you know, do things. Sometimes we let people, you know, run over us.
Mm-hmm.
And then there comes a time where the Lord says, stop that. And some people don't stop it, Carmen. And because they don't stop it, they don't enter in. They don't enter in.
Yep.
So you've been obedient to that, and you stop. You said no, no, no. You watched over your own soul to make sure you had the oil to enter in for yourself. And because of that, that is your breakthrough.
Amen.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
Amen. And right, and when I done that, that's when they wanted me more. They wanted me around more. But I still wasn't supposed to be with them. I had to do what God said. When I said no, then there was a desire to have me. Even my bosses, they were like, no, we don't want to lose you. And I'm like, well, too bad, so sad. Toughen up, buttercup. Uh-huh. And so there's an analogy, too, with to that. It's like when you're on the plane and the plane is going down, you're not going to put the mask on somebody else or a child. You put it on yourself first so you can get the oxygen so you can continue helping them. So what good if I'm not helping myself, how am I going to help other people if I don't love myself?
That's a good point. That's really beautiful,
Yeah, I need the oxygen first so that I can think, or else we'll all go down and we won't be saved.
Right, right.
So,
that's really good. Yeah. So that's it. That's
so
what the Lord's saying. He was obviously saying you've been successful at it, and then you confirmed that you had been successful at it, but didn't know why you were doing it, what the strategy was. Now you know what the strategy is, according to the word of the Lord. So this is awesome, man.
Exactly. I mean, and sometimes we're so kind as believers, we think that we're supposed to, you know, help everybody. No, not everybody wants to get out of where they're at. They want to keep on in their misery. But you have to be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And that peace will lead you. That peace will lead you. Because it could be the same situation. Like my parents, they wanted me to go back again because they needed help. And I'm like, again? Do I have to go again, Lord? I'm like, I don't feel it this time. Am I wrong, or is it me that doesn't want to go, Lord? Because I was like, you know, going back and forth. But that Holy Spirit guided me, showed me what I have to do. And he did. He showed me. And when he did, and I moved forward in what he was telling me, I had peace. I had a peace.
Cool.
I was okay. I'm right. I know I'm right. I'm good.
it's difficult when you have to say no to people that you love. I mean, it's a difficult thing. So you do feel bad at times until the Lord confirms. So I think that's kind of what you're saying. He's loosening you from any condemnation, any self-condemnation, or anything that you would put on yourself, much less the enemy. That's really awesome, and it also is the answer to your saying no. It's been the answer to your yes from God.
Exactly. That's the peace that I was feeling. That's his yes. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, I can't take any credit for anything, as you know, because I never know what's going on anyway. You know, I'm kind of like I'm the in-between boy. Like, Lord says, pass this on. I'm going, okay, what does it mean? Just pass it on. Don't try to figure it out. Just pass it on. Okay.
And you're walking in obedience. And that's what we all have to do, in obedience in what he tells us to do. So praise the Lord.
And the better we do it, the more time we spend, you know, celebrating instead of working all the time. You know, we get it done quick because we obey him. Awesome.
Exactly. Amen.
Cool. I'm glad to hear that. That is really, you know. Yeah.
Well,
what,
pray for me for a good job, because I don't know what's going on in our city. I don't know if it's the COVID and everything, but the pay is awful. And, I mean, it's starting to come back up, But I need something soon because I had to say no to this one agency because they saw that I was doing so well with this one particular lady. They were throwing at me a whole bunch of people like her, and I was coming home drained. And plus, I told the lady and behave that I wasn't going to stay with her, and it felt kind of bad, but she was, you know, kind of abusive. So I said no, and I left the agency. So they're stuck with other people having to figure out how they're going to get those other people taken care of. I'm like, you know what? That's not right, you know? Okay, I'm good with this. I'm taking care of people, but don't go throwing everything on me, you know? That was exhausting. So and it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy.
Cool. Awesome. All right.
So,
we just thank you for that job. We thank you, Lord, for that provision. And we thank you that the word tonight will be the very thing that brings the breakthrough. We just thank you that for the understanding, like Jeannie had shared earlier, that when you get understanding about something, you know, that helps you understand it. It connects you to it. So we thank you, Lord, for the connection of this understanding tonight. That the no was for the yes from God. A no from people is a yes for God. How when people tell you no and God tells you yes, well, guess what? That's it. You got a yes from God. But Lord, I thank you that you've given her a big yes tonight, saying yes. Yes and amen. So be it done. The breakthrough, the entrance in, that she's going to be looking for. She's going to have her oil, her trimming her, ready to trim her lamp. But she hears the voice of the bridegroom. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for raising that up and doing that in the name of Jesus. Bring that thing in Jesus' name. So she will have eyes to see, like having glasses on, where you sometimes, you know, glasses can be like a magnifying glass. It can really show the details of things. And the whole thing about glasses and wearing, you know, one of those, I'm not sure, but making things clear in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open that up for her, God. Amen. It's almost like I want to say you're going to work for somebody who makes glasses, but I'm not sure that's exactly what that is. But I kept seeing glasses, and so I didn't know what that was about, your sight being able to see and focus, or what the glasses thing was about. But anyway,
yeah, I needed that. I've been the phone looking for work on the phone, and my eyes have been having problems, and I'm getting blurry. But yeah, I needed physical healing for that. Do you know that the last time you talked to me, now I'm like Maria, you were talking about be whole. And I believe this is part of what God was doing, making me whole, because a lot of it came from my marriage, and a lot of things had to be taken out because of the hurt. And sometimes you doubt yourself when you're with a person that you love, and you see yourself in their eyes because you love them and you think that they're wanting the best for you, right? So I think part of the healing that I needed in order to be able to say no.
Yeah. What so a thing. When I heard the word...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When I heard the Lord say that your no was a yes for him, I'm going, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So that word you gave me before, be whole.
Yeah. I remember something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to keep you. There's other people on the line, and they need to be blessed too.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got to finish what we started, but I think that's basically it, yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for finishing what you started. Even that is a thing. Finishing what was started. We thank you, Lord, that all the things that haven't been finished that were started, delays and things being stolen or misplaced or whatever, or, you know, whatever, in Jesus' name, just restore that, that things be made whole, that things that were finished, things that were started be finished, in that sense be made whole in that sense, as well as other senses too, but in Jesus' name, hallelujah, open that up.
Hallelujah.
Let it be done. I'm just declaring, decreeing, let it be done means when Jesus yielded up on the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, it's finished. That's what, like, it's done, it's finished. You know, be made whole. It's like Jesus did the whole thing. He got the whole thing accomplished. It was finished. It was whole.
Yeah.
Now, the payment was made whole. Was completely given. Yeah. Something like that. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Okay, Carmen.
Thank
I'm glad
you.
I got a hold of you. Try to call you back. I'm glad I got your number there. It shows up
2-3
on, but you gave me 915, so I called that. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
God bless.
Carmen. Okay. All right. Bye-bye. All right. 501-593. Can I talk to you very quickly? Hang on a second. 501-593. You lose people as it gets late. Bless your heart. Clean away. 501, air code 501-593. Hello. Air code 501. All right, let's go here to 251-229.
Yes, hi, Randy. Hi, how are you?
Sarah, right?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. All right, Sarah, let's pray for you. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. I'm fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Okay, I'm going to mute you right now. We're going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. For Sarah tonight, God, I thank you for the numbers room for her. I thank you for her fingers and numbers. Fingers and numbers. Like counting, like you count with your fingers. Sometimes I count with my fingers. So counting with your fingers and counting the blessings, counting the blessings. Like being able to point to things, declare and decree things, the blessings also that has started, that those blessings be completed, that you enter into a completion anointing, an anointing that allows you to complete projects or things God has you do where the enemy can't stop it or interfere with it, or you can't get distracted. And so I thank you, Lord, for that ability to complete things for Sarah in Jesus' name. Hallelujah for that. We thank you, Jesus, for that ability to complete everything you have her to. Jesus said the Father is pleased with him because he finishes what the Father had him start. And anything she started that the Father had her start, we thank you, Lord, for bringing it to an end. Bring it to an end and only let her be doing the perfect will of the Father, that she complete the will of God, complete the things that the Father's given her to do, so that she can reap the rewards. Sometimes we don't get the reward until we complete the project or whatever things that God's given us to do. Amen. All right. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing pretty good. It's Monday, so we're at it.
I felt that way today while I was at work as well. I felt like this is truly a Monday because it was just whatever you were speaking prophetically, the Lord gave you was true. I was doing different projects on the job and was making sure every I was dotted, every T was crossed. Like, okay, did I get that done? Okay, got that done. Okay, did.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's really great. And I think there's an anointing God's wanting to pour out on you for that with other things too. We all get in battles with doing God's will. And the enemy does everything he can to stop us from completing the thing, you know. And so, yeah, an anointing to complete things. Man, I'll take that one. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I'm thankful for that word too, Prophet Rand, because at one point in time, I would be so hesitant about going in. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to remember, different things come in reference to the job. But now the Lord is on a mission, and his word that he's using you as his mouthpiece is true. Because now I go in, I love my job and going in and complete the tasks for the day.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's really, really cool.
Amen. And amen, amen. And tonight, I wanted to pray for my daughter. Her name is Leah. She's working now. She's going to school, but she's loving her job, and she's starting to kind of seek after a little bit more independence. As far as she likes the paychecks, she likes her money, but I wanted to get prayer for her that she may be walking in God's divine anointing, that she's covered by the Lord. That's really what I really a stickler with me, because she goes and she comes, and my schedule is different from hers. But I wanted to make sure. I said, well, Lord, as long as she's protected in your word.
Right, right. And what's her name again, Sarah? I forgot her name.
Okay, Leah.
Leah, that's right. Sorry. Yes, for Leah. Lord, we thank you for Leah tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that you give Leah a responsibility, a knowing that she's responsible first before God and then with her mom and her family. And that I thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord, that for setting her priorities in order so that she can be blessed, so she won't spend a lot of time, wasting time with her priorities wrong, that you can have freedom in being answering to God and being responsible for God and doing what God wants you to do. That that's the greatest thing that we can do and be held accountable before the Lord. And then with our parents, with Sarah. And I think she's going to see such freedom in that and find such safety and protection in that. She don't want to mess that one up, because the Bible says when you honor your mother and father, life goes well with you. So teach her how to honor God, teach her how to honor the authorities in her life, especially her mother. And we thank you, Jesus, for that. And Lord, to bless her and to let her not waste time in life, but let her learn quickly so that she doesn't have to be like the children of Israel spending 40 years going around and around and around, where she can go, make a few mistakes, learn from the mistakes, and move on. Instead of doing the same old repetitive thing in Jesus' name over and over again, that she's going to walk in a straight line, a narrow line, God, and walk in the way of the Lord Jesus, and be very conscious and aware of that. Your God, I just ask you to grace her with a special grace to be able to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that one. Oh, yeah. I'm thankful. You have such grace, and far as, the praying, and I just really enjoy that prayer. That was really nice. Because she's been on my mind lately. She'll do maybe work late at her job, and, she's a good worker and everything. And I just thank the Lord for your prayers tonight, Prophet Randy.
No, thank you. Thanks for calling in. Let me know what's going on with her. And Lord, we just thank you for that financial breakthrough. We thank you for that financial anointing, God, for Sarah and her family, God, on her whole family, on her whole seed, her and her family. Like God always blessed Abraham. He said, you and your seed, you and your family. God's always interested in us and our family and our children. And I thank you, Lord, for making that manifestation in Jesus' name, that they learn to drink from the wells of salvation, where everything in that well is everything we need: our finances, our deliverance, our healing, our favor, the job, the future family, all that. God, we thank you in Jesus' name for protecting and keeping and watching over Sarah's family, God, and her seed, in Jesus' name, to be protected and walk in the perfect will of God. But we just declare and decree that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Let that healing anointing rise up within her, God, like healing in her wings, God. As she learns to spread her wings, she's going to find out that there's healing in her wings, in the wings of the Lord, in her wings, in Jesus' name. As she spreads her wings in prayer, as she spreads her wings in, letting the wind of the Spirit of God blow her wherever
you want her to go, Jesus, and let her find that in that, when her wings are spread and open, that there's healing in her wings, God, for others. Amen. All right.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, man of God, and I'll be kind of busy the next few days, but I'll call you back on Thursday for the for an update.
All right. Okay, we'll be praying for, yes, okay, Thursday. All right, awesome. We'll be looking forward to seeing what God's doing and with Leah, and hallelujah. I just felt like God was showing you, he's going to show you that he's not just blessing you, then a blessing on your mama and you, but on your seed, on your child. I think you're really going to see that. And God's going to open your eyes to blessings that maybe sometimes parents overlook, because sometimes we see our kids being blessed in a certain way and we don't see all the different ways God's blessing them, but I see that God's going to show you all the different ways he's blessing Leah. Yeah, so you don't miss it, you know, like, oh, I missed that one. You know, you're not going to miss any of the ways you see God blessing you, and he's watching over your seed in particular.
No, amen. I receive it. And I thank the Lord for you. And I just want to tell your wife hello, because I know I call and I'm like, uh-oh, it's 12:24. Let me.
I know. It's simple. In some places it's 1:24. In some places it's 10:24. So we have all kinds of different hours going on here. All right. Thank you so much, Sarah. I appreciate it.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a night tonight. I tried every caller to have their hand up. So we're going to call it a night tonight. It's 12:24, like she said. And, all right, God is good. All right, God bless everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow. If I missed your call tonight, if you were up or something, we'll get you tomorrow night or whatever, maybe Wednesday. All right. All right, thank you. Bye-bye.